Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines, we call the scenes, we put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid table. So many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off the bat in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram along.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
For the last few years, I've had this sense that everything I learned as a kid about how America's government works is completely wrong. But I had no idea how bad things actually were until I saw this one graph. Researchers at Princeton University looked at more than 20 years worth of data to answer a pretty simple question. Does the government represent the people? Now, this is what they found. This axis here represents public support for any given idea. On the left, at 0%, are ideas that not a single American wants. On the right, at 100%, are ideas that everyone supports. This axis represents the likelihood of Congress passing a law that reflects any of these ideas, from a 0 to a 100% chance. On this graph, an ideal republic would look like this. If 50% of the public supports an idea, there's a 50% chance of it becoming law. If 80% of us support something, there's an 80% chance. You get the idea. Now, most Americans would probably agree that, with a few exceptions, we should be as close to this ideal as possible. Unfortunately, the way America actually works doesn't even come close. Take an idea that nobody supports, literally nobody, and it has about a 30% chance of becoming federal law. Now, take an incredibly popular idea, the most popular idea this country has ever seen, and there's also about a 30% chance of it becoming law. This means that the number of American voters for or against any idea has no impact on the likelihood that Congress will make it law. Put another way, and I'm just going to quote the Princeton study directly here, the preferences of the average American appear to have only a minuscule, near zero, statistically non-significant impact upon public policy. So if you've ever felt like your opinion doesn't matter and that the government doesn't really care what you think, well, you're right. But there's a catch. This flat line only accounts for the bottom 90% of income earners in America. Economic elites, business interests, people who can afford lobbyists, they get their own line. Look at how much closer their line is to the ideal. When they want something, the government is much more likely to do it. And when they don't, they have the power to completely block it from happening, no matter how much the rest of the country supports it. They get what they want, and guess who ends up paying for it? We pay for it with the most expensive healthcare in the world. We pay for it with a tax code that's a complete mess. We pay for it with internet that's slower and more expensive, with wasteful spending, a floundering education system, a catastrophic drug war, and 1 in 5 American children born into poverty. Almost every major issue we face as a nation can be traced back to this graph. How does this happen? Well, just follow the money. Right now, it's perfectly legal to buy political influence in America. Here's how it works. Let's say a big bank wants a law that would force taxpayers to bail them out again if they repeat the exact same reckless behavior that crashed the global economy in 2008. Not exactly the most popular idea with the public, and Congress knows that. That should be the end of it. But that's where the money comes in. It's perfectly legal for our bank to hire a team of lobbyists, whose entire job is to make sure that the government gives the bank what it wants. Then, those lobbyists can track down members of Congress who regulate banks and help raise a ton of money for their re-election campaigns. It's perfectly legal for those lobbyists to offer those same politicians million-dollar jobs at their lobbying firm. Then, those lobbyists can literally write the language of this new bailout law themselves and hand it off to the politician they just buttered up with campaign money and lucrative job offers. And it's perfectly legal for those politicians to take the lobbyist written language and sneak it through Congress at the last second. So now you've got a law that greatly benefits the banks, and the whole process can start over. This is how a bill becomes a law. A special interest hires some lobbyists, those lobbyists collect campaign contributions, offer jobs, and then write the laws that Congress then passes to help those same special interests. This happens every day on every single issue with politicians of both parties. In the last 5 years alone, the 200 most politically active companies in the United States spent $5.8 billion influencing your government. Those same companies got $4.4 trillion in taxpayer support. And that's trillion, with a T. And that's just the top 200 companies. Never mind every other special interest, every union, every trade association, and every billionaire. Every single one of them can use their money to buy political influence. You know, there's this idea out there that this only became a problem after the Supreme Court Citizens United decision in 2010. But the data goes back almost 40 years, and the results are clear. Corruption is legal in America. And as long as it is, anyone who can spend money to buy political influence will. The solution here isn't rocket science. Make corruption illegal. We already know Congress won't do it. I mean, one look at this chart will tell you that. What we need is a plan that lets us go around Congress and do what the American people do best. Fix this mess ourselves. Well, good news. We have that plan, and it's already working. Now that we've got the problem covered, let us show you how to be part of the solution.
Was that ant that stood up to me?
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. 1,000 people in the street singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop.
The turtle. Always looking to fill the turtle and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html. As well as if you are on the Super Chat chat room, scroll down and look up underneath there. There's a People for People radio network where we're also broadcasting over there with those wonderful folks as well. So go over there and tell them hi. Same old crazy old Shaziz sent you. So anyway, corruption in America. Who'd have thought? Well, It's not necessarily something new per se about corruption in America, but corruption is legal in America. Did you know that? Well, apparently it must be, because a lot of people get by with a lot of things that you and I would probably be so far underneath the jail that we'd be speaking Chinese or whatever's opposite of your particular place that you're at, you know, whatever continent you're on. Just think about being so far below the jail that you'd be in yeah, never mind. So anyway, yeah, I'm going to play this real quick. Listen to this. This is interesting. The most corrupt U.S. politicians.
William Boss Tweed, Democrat, House Representative from 1853 to 1855. Provided financial aid to constituents and business partners in return for votes. He was convicted in 1873 for his role in a corruption ring that stole $1 billion in today's dollars. He was released after 1 year and then sued for $6 million by New York City. He fled to Spain, but was caught and extradited back. Despite the corruption, people believed he did a lot of good for the city, especially the poor. Ray Blanton, Democrat, governor of Tennessee from 1975 to 1979. Blanton pardoned a convicted double murderer whose father turned out to be a former employee. The FBI charged two of his employees with extortion and conspiracy to sell pardons. Blanton pardoned 52 other criminals in 1979. His successor was inaugurated 3 days early just to stop any more pardons. Huey Kingfish Long, Democrat, governor of Louisiana from 1928 to 1932. Kingfish was known to intimidate opponents by firing their relatives from state jobs. To pass his huge public works program, he made threats and bought votes. In 1929, Congress sought to impeach him on charges of corruption, bribery, and gross misconduct. But he was able to convince one-third of Congress to support him, preventing the two-thirds majority needed to impeach. In 1935, he was shot and killed by the son-in-law of a judge he was trying to remove.
So that's kind of crazy, you know. That's just a couple little examples right there, you know, of a couple, you know, individuals that basically were corrupt as all get out. But you know, not everybody in every single party. I'm sure that there's probably good people on both sides. With that said, I'm going to play this one right here. This is Tulsi Gabbard, I believe.
People warned me in 2016. That my endorsement of Bernie Sanders would be the end of my quote-unquote political career. They said Clinton will never forget that she and her rich and powerful friends, her allies in politics and in the media, will make sure that you are destroyed. Well, there have been countless hit pieces full of smears against me from day one of this campaign. They've tried to destroy my reputation and my lifetime of service because I stood up to them. I've spent over 16 years of my life proudly serving in the Army National Guard. I still serve as a major today. I volunteered to deploy to the Middle East twice. I've served in Congress now for nearly 7 years, serving on the Foreign Affairs Committee, the Armed Services Committee, the Homeland Security Committee, and I am not afraid to openly express my love for our country. But if they can falsely portray me as a traitor, then they can do it to anyone. And in fact, that's exactly the message that they want to get across to you. That if you stand up against Hillary and the party power brokers, if you stand up to the rich and powerful elite and the war machine, they will destroy you and discredit your message. But here is the truth. They will not intimidate us. They will not silence us. We are not here just to protest their corruption. I am running for president to take the Democratic Party and our country back from the corrupt elite. I'm running for president to bring about a new Democratic Party, a new leadership that will fight for peace, fight for the people, and protect our planet. So I want to ask every single one of you to join me in speaking truth to power. Don't be afraid. Let's root out the corruption in our party and our country. Join me to end the war machine's stranglehold over our leaders and ensure that our government is truly of the people, by the people, and for the people.
Yeah, by the people and for the people. I love those words. I mean, so, you know, good possibility that that lady might be a good president, I guess. But, you know, how are you going to, like she said, root out the corruption? That's the biggest key right there, because if you listen to that prior podcast as the show was beginning, they talked about the lobbyist in that particular time frame. $5.8 billion from lobbyists went to campaigns and stuff. So, you know, you live, if you live in America, you live in a situation to where money basically can buy votes. Money can buy everything. Money is the end all to beat all, so to speak. Well, you know, you got a Federal Reserve that is not federal. It's not. It's a private banking industry that has a lot of power in there. And they basically loan your government money. Well, you know, you also have, you know, what they call the IRS, Internal Revenue Service, with a tax code that is so incredibly huge and complicated and tentacles in every doggone direction that nobody can literally figure the whole entire thing out. And so there's all kinds of things in there that are devastating to the American people. Well, that doesn't even scratch the surface. So when you go to buy yourself some property, personal property, whether it be a car or a home, you end up having to pay property taxes. And if you don't pay your property taxes on your vehicle, it's really not that big of a deal. If you don't want to drive your car and get it licensed the next year around, then you don't have to worry about that, you know, to some extent. Well, when it comes down to your house, they will literally steal your house. If you don't pay your taxes within a, you know, certain period of time, they will literally take your house and sell it on the doggone auction block, which chances are it's probably somebody from the inside buying it anyway, and, you know, turn around and literally steal your property from you. A lot of people don't know that they are supposed to, after whatever money that they recuperated from the taxes, they're supposed to give back to the actual landowner. Well, that doesn't happen. It gets hoarded by the government. So the government's sitting on a big pile of money from houses that they had stole from people. And unless you know how to get it back or whatever, you can't. You don't. Most folks don't even know. That's not something that they tell anybody. And so, that system in itself, still, we haven't even scratched the surface of how corrupt the system is. Not only are the law enforcement agents dressed like military combatants, you know, militarized in every form of the fashion, but they, if you as a citizen ever mention the Constitution while the police officer's, you know, engaged in whatever he's doing to you, if you mention the Constitution, you're liable to get laughed at. He's going to laugh right in your face. Oh, you're one of those Constitution people, huh? Well, little does he remember, he or she or whatever the case may be, remember, but they swore an oath to serve and protect and uphold that Constitution, and now, you know, they're laughing in your face. You know, they got this big balloon head and a big badge heavy chest. You know, they got this power, you know, and they let it go to their head. Well, that still doesn't even scratch the surface of the corruption in America. You know, you got lobbyists out there who basically can override the public, what the public wants, and we get laws passed all the time that we don't want. Now, when it comes down to, like, the Second Amendment, they're a little bit more cautious about how they do it, but incrementally, you know, the Constitution's clearly stated in the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Didn't say if and or subsection A, Article B, under fine print, and, you know, Article D or whatever. They didn't say anything like that. It said shall not be infringed. Yet they find loopholes and ways around it in every possible manner that they can to gradually and incrementally infringe on the citizens' rights. Now, of course, this frustrates a lot of people, so there are entities out there like the National Rifles Association who supposedly are there to assist the people in protecting their Second Amendment rights. But, you know, hey, who knows behind the scenes? They make a lot of money. They get a lot of money from donations. Who knows? But this isn't just about guns, and it's not just about freedom of speech. It's about freedom in general. It's about the fact that somebody can literally go, quite literally, and steal an election with lies and propaganda and, you know, misinformation. The mainstream media basically has a monopoly on who gets to say what. And they can basically guide large populations of large portions of the population to whichever candidate that they, you know, have a bias towards. And back to the police. The police have been basically told by the Supreme Court that it is all right for them to quite literally lie to you in order to get evidence on you. And when you go to court, whatever the police officer says, it's considered hearsay. But whatever you say to the police officer is considered evidence. So that basically takes your word completely out of the equation, and the law enforcement is, for the most part, always trusted. No matter what. If this person was the most corrupt individual in the world, he could go out and get by with all kinds of things. Unless, for some reason, like it has been in the case before, that somebody actually got this corruption on video and was sharing it with the public, then and only then might you actually see something that, you know, might come about, you know, maybe a little bit of justice or something like that. So, that in itself, still, doesn't even remotely scratch the surface of how corrupt this system is. But it apparently is legal. It's legal corruption in the United States of America. It's legal for large entities with lots of money, very deep pockets, to go in and, you know, pay and bribe and do whatever they have to do in order to get the Senate and the Congress, the supposed representatives, to vote their way, to basically ensure that companies and corporations can continue to get by with everything. This, for example, the bailouts, where the banks had basically sent lobbyists in to ensure that the people would have to be the one bailing them out if they basically did the same exact thing the last time the economy took a huge dip. And so the banks are basically protecting themselves with the political system that they had sent the lobbyists in to essentially pass the laws. So, you know, it never ends. And even all of what you've heard at this point in the game, it still doesn't even scratch the surface. The things that these folks can get by with, it's mind-blowing. And we constantly sit back and we listen to all this stuff and we bicker amongst each other and fight back and forth about who's right, who's wrong, whether it's the Republicans or the Democrats' fault and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, I'm gonna play a little bit of this right here.
What we are looking at is a corrupt political system. And that means whether it is the drug companies or the insurance companies or the fossil fuel industry determining what's happening in Washington, we have got to recognize that this country is moving into an oligarchic form of society where a handful of billionaires control the economic and political life of this country. And as president, I am prepared to take them on.
Our trade policy in America has been broken for decades. And it has been broken because it works for giant multinational corporations and not for much of anyone else. These are giant corporations that, shoot, if they can save a nickel by moving a job...
Let me pause this for a second because this lady here is basically saying that it's controlled by giant corporations. But if you look on that stage, the majority of every one of the candidates in the Democratic Party are backed by the same corporations that they're talking smack about. They got to say whatever it is that they can say in order to get elected. These folks aren't poor. They're not you and I. They're not the average Joe. They're not sub-middle class or whatever. You know, they basically have a lot of money. They have a lot of financial backing. You can't even get on that stage unless you've got a lot of money. Unless you can raise a lot of money, you can't even get into the primary debates. You can't get to become a candidate unless you have the capability to raise a lot of money, which opens the gates, the floodgates, for all kinds of corruption. All kinds of corruption. Let's keep going here.
To a foreign country, they'll do it in a heartbeat. And yet, for decades now, who's been whispering in the ears of our trade negotiators? Who has shaped our trade policy? It's been the giant corporations. It's been their lobbyists and their executives. The way we change our trade policy in America is first, the procedures. Who sits at the table?
Why are we losing to the fossil fuel companies? Yeah. Why are we losing to the gun lobby and the NRA? And the answer is this. We all know, everyone on the stage knows, that our government has been overrun by money and corporate interests. Now, everyone here has a plan to try and curb those corporate interests, but we have to face facts. Money finds a way. Money will find its way back in. So what is the answer? The answer is to wash the money out with people-powered money. My proposal is that we give every American 100 democracy dollars that you can only give to candidates and causes that you like. This would wash out the lobbyist cash by a factor of 8 to 1.
Pause. Okay, so like he's like talking about giving everybody 100 democracy dollars. First off, folks, and I've been saying this at nauseam, it just drives me freaking bonkers when a candidate... a representative is calling out democracy, United States of America. And get this right, United States of America has never, ever, ever, ever been a democracy. Our system of government is a representative republic. And these folks don't even know this, and yet they're running for president. If they can't even get that one little fact down that we are a representative republic and they're running for president, then there's already a problem. The fact is, they would love to have a democracy. This is why all the illegal immigration is being allowed and in most cases encouraged. Because they can get their democracy. They can get enough people and enough power in there to vote where the popular opinion is now the law. And so that you essentially bring about mob rule. But don't get confused, because these folks will still wish to remain in power, democracy or not. So they will do everything and pass every type of legal legislation or whatever that they can pass in order to protect themselves, just like the banking industry, just like the Federal Reserve, just like the Internal Revenue Service. They have ensured that they can't be charged with anything. They have ensured that you, the people, are the one who's going to have to pay. No matter what happens, you're going to pay. They've already set the system up so that they can steal your property, steal your freedom if need be, deplete your rights from the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. They have set it up so that the law enforcement will quite literally laugh in your face when you quote your Constitution. They have set it up so that no matter what you do, you're getting taxed. Whether you get in trouble and get fined, they're getting paid constantly. The entire system, the way that it is set up, has been so perverted and twisted. It is no longer a representative republic. They're trying to make it a democracy, which makes you feel good as the person. Hey, we're a democracy, so we the people have a voice. In reality, we the people don't have a voice because our voice is drowned out by the dollars that are pumping in, flooding in to the Senate, to the Congress, to the mayor races, to every single government agency out there. Then the lobbyists are basically the ones who are steering the country in the direction that we're going. It doesn't matter whether it's Republican side or the Democrat side. It doesn't matter. There's lobbyists on both sides. There's corruption on both sides. It seems that the Democrats are so desperate now for power that they are blatantly in your face, open corruption, pulling every dirty trick, because they too have lobbyists. But the other side must have better lobbyists and more money, because the other side seems to be fair and better at the moment. The mainstream media is basically on the Democrat side. And there is a ultimate, definite bias for the Democrat side. Now, when you get on the conservative side, you know, like Fox News, you know, they have a bias towards the conservative Republicans. But regardless, you're still talking about, whether you're talking about the left wing or the right wing, you're still talking about the same bird. The wings are connected to the same exact bird, and the system is the same. It's corrupt. It's corrupt beyond all imagination. And it's crazy, because corruption can buy anything. Corruption can buy the citizen. Corruption can get that law enforcement officer to literally laugh in your face when you quote the Constitution. He gets to be powerful. He gets to dress like a military man. He's a militarized armed revenue generator for the state. And he has power over you. In his sick mind, that power over you feels good. And the power over you feels good to the senators, to the congressmen and women. And when you try to raise your voice and you get on the phone and you call up your supposed representative, they might listen to you, or somebody in their office might listen to you, but the moment you're off of that doggone phone, they don't even know you anymore. They've never heard what you had to say anymore, because they're too busy listening to the money piling in and the bribes. So in order for them to be able to maintain this system of power, they have to keep on propagandizing you. They have to keep on lying to you. They have to keep on manipulating you. They have to keep on getting you out in the streets to protest against each other. You're not protesting your government. You're not protesting capitalism. You're out there supporting the same beast that is eating you alive. You're out there supporting the same corrupt system that you claim to want to be up against. Anti-fascist, my eye. Antifa is probably by far the best thing that has ever happened to corruption in the government. Because if you look back after 9/11 and everything else that occurred during that time, the laws that were put into place were not there to protect you. They were there to diminish your rights, to give the government more power. And if it be that these groups like Antifa are needed to go out there and be paid agitators, which you can watch the militarized police departments standing idly by and not arresting people for assaulting other people of other political views, it's a necessary evil for them to get the mass chaos necessary for them to implement the laws that they have already passed as far as the National Defense Authorization Act and the Patriot Act and even martial law. Now, common sense dictates that the people finally woke up and realized that they had been had, that there would probably be a serious issue, but for the most part, they're too distracted with their own political ideology, thinking that they're actually out there fighting for justice and a cause, fighting for freedom. And in reality, they're playing into the game. They're being used like pawns, and they're being played like a banjo. So let's keep on rolling with this right here.
That is the only way we will win. And as someone running for president, I'll tell you, there's the people on one side and the money on the other. The only way for us to win is if we bring them together.
Thank you, Mr. Yen.
You got a handful of billionaires controlling what goes on in Wall Street, the insurance companies, and in the media.
Yeah, let that sink in for a minute. A handful of people, handful of millionaires, billionaires, being able to manipulate how the system actually functions. So, I'm telling you that the entire system is a sham. I'm telling you that the insurance company is a sham. I'm telling you that the banking industry is a sham. The fact that you think you have a vote and a voice is a sham. The entire system has been so intertwined, basically infested with corruption, that it's off the scales. You know, a lot of folks think they want to come to America. They think that America sounds like this great place to live, but in reality, if you actually think about, you know, what I've just explained to you, and we still yet haven't even scratched the surface. We still haven't even scratched the surface. In order to drive a motor vehicle here in the United States, you have to have a license, you have to have insurance, you have to have inspection on your vehicle, all of which cost money. If you drive the vehicle and you go a few miles over the speed limit, or maybe a tail light or something isn't working, you get fined. And for certain other offenses, you might even get jailed. It doesn't matter. Anytime you get pulled over here in the United States and they give you a ticket, it's a technical arrest. You're placed under arrest. You have to either go to court or you have to pay the fine, plead guilty or whatever in order to get that taken care of. So, if you want to drive, you have to consent to that mess. If you want to own property, you have to consent to the fact that you could actually be stolen from if you can't meet your financial obligations. And if the bank forecloses on you, they've already got an insurance policy for that possible foreclosure of you. So the bank gets to take the house from you. They get to collect on the insurance. and they get to resell the house. Think about that. So, still yet, we haven't even scratched the surface yet. So, neutrons, protons, electrons in the chat room said that the great American dream, I can't read that one word there, can't see it. Anyway, most folks are sleeping. They don't realize that they're being had. They don't realize it. So, if you go back in history and you look and you see who actually, and I think Buzz is actually saying, when you look at who has been in power over history and seen how many are all connected to big money and power, you know that voting was created to give you the illusion of choice and nothing else. That was Buzz's comment in the Knights of the Round Table. But it's true. It's true. You think you got a vote. Now, for some portions of the deal, I think the system might actually at least appear to work. You know, got the Electoral College where it ensures that large states can't be the monopoly on who gets elected because of the large population that they got and the number of representatives. So, to that extent, there's a check and a balance in there. But that check and balance, the one side wants to get rid of, and the other side keeps it there so that the other side can't ever get too much power. So they're basically fighting amongst each other back and forth for whether it's going to be the left wing or the right wing, basically is in power at any given time. And that word, he said, cause, because. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. I have an issue whenever I'm trying to read other people's stuff on there. One of these computers, I don't know what you'd call it, the brightness of it, it blanks out some of the words and some things. Anyway, sorry about that. So anyway, the thing that we've been trying to get across here is that a lot of folks they believe that you know, going to America is this wonderful thing. It's going to give you all these opportunities. Well, maybe to some extent, better opportunities than you had in your area. But if you really want to talk about what the America was supposed to be, as opposed to what it has become, it's not what you think. You can lose your freedom in America so ridiculously easy just by not complying with whatever somebody believes that you should comply with. You can be censored if you say certain things, if you don't agree with certain things. And all these things basically are put into place in order to ensure that there's always controversy and that you are always fighting with your brothers and sisters. I'm going to play this one right here because this is really interesting because, when I'm talking about on Mad Science, I'm talking about global warming and climate change and climate disruption and the carbon tax and all that. And now you get certain candidates boo-hooing about fuel prices in California. So I want to play this because this is interesting.
Democratic Governor of California Gavin Newsom is stumped by high gas prices in California, where gas taxes outstrip the other 49 states. There was a viral photo recently that showed two gas stations, and they were only miles apart from each other. One was in California, and the other, I think, was Arizona. Is that what it was? I'm bad with geography. Okay, anyway, the point was, outside of California, gas was like $2, and right, like a couple miles away in California, was $4-something. Why that is? Could it be, Gavin, that you supported a gas tax? Check it out. The Daily Caller says, Democratic California Governor Gavin Newsom threatened possible legal action against oil companies in a Tuesday tweet complaining about the high cost of gas in his state. He said, California drivers have paid an average of 30 cents more per gallon. There's no identifiable evidence to justify that. I'm demanding an investigation. If oil companies are engaging in false advertising or price fixing, legal action should be taken. I when I heard this, I just couldn't believe it. Gavin, you quite literally supported the gas hike, right? You supported massive gas tax hike. So why is California on average paying 30 cents more? Maybe it's because your state has a higher rate. Okay, hold on. Maybe Gavin isn't talking about taxes. Maybe he's trying to imply that outside of taxes, they're paying 30 cents more. Oh, okay. Well, the Daily Caller does have an answer to those as well. Gasoline blends. Let's read what they have to say. While Newsom claimed that there was no identifiable evidence to justify the fact that California's paid 30 cents more per gallon, there were a few key indicators that the California governor appeared to be ignoring. California ranks first in combined state tax rates and fees, which amount to approximately 61 cents per gallon. Only two other states, Illinois and Pennsylvania, have combined tax rates over 50 cents per gallon. Another eight states, Hawaii, Washington, Michigan, Indiana, Florida, New York, Connecticut, New Jersey, have combined tax rates between 40 and 49 cents per gallon. The vast majority have tax rates of 39 cents or below. Gasoline blends. California's more stringent environmental regulations, have also played a part in raising the price residents pay at the pump, effectively turning the state's fuel market into an economic island. A 2015 article in the LA Times explained the phenomenon, saying that the Golden State's market is isolated from outside fuel suppliers that might moderate prices. In addition to the environmental regulations that affect all gasoline blends sold in California, the formulas change with the seasons, and the summer blend is even pricier than its winter counterpart. Additional environmental requirements established for refineries have caused a number of refineries to close their doors, leading to further decreases in competition. While California's most recent gas tax hike, which Newsom supported, went into effect this past July, many of the environmental regulations impacting price of the pump predate his time in the governor's mansion. You know what is a major factor in getting reelected and whether or not someone's going to support you? Gasoline prices. Because at the end of the day, you want to go to the store and buy milk? You can't do it if you don't got gas. You want to drive to work? Well, you can't do it if you don't got gas. Gasoline, fuel for your vehicle, is one of the most important purchases someone can make in their life. Gas prices are a major factor in why Moody's Analytics is saying that Donald Trump is going to sweep 2020. Because the gas prices are down, down, down. That means more traveling, more vacation, more food, cheaper prices, lower inflation, because it all starts with petroleum. You want to get corn from the field? You want to grow the corn? You need a tractor. You need supplies. You want to get the corn to the supermarket? You need a truck to do it. You want to ship your wood across the country, bring iPhones in on a boat? You got to have cheap oil. Okay? And under Trump, gas is cheap. Now in California, it's not. So I have to wonder if this is fake outrage that Gavin Newsom is pretending like we're being gouged so he can pass the buck and say, it's them, it's their fault. Don't blame me. I didn't do anything wrong. Well, as it turns out, he's the one who supported the massive tax hike. So, I don't trust California at all. California cities like L.A. have Democratic supermajorities. Okay, so Los Angeles can't pass homeless reform bills, even though they're all Democrats. Now, why is that? They also passed these massive gas tax hikes, environmental regulations, driving prices, people are fleeing California, there's diseases, feces, the whole thing's a nightmare. And they keep doing the same things. Listen, man, we got a problem. There is a certain point where we got to say, hey, we don't have enough of a certain resource. I'm not saying we're there now, I'm saying we'll get to the point where, we don't have enough water. That's scary when that happens. The point is, at a certain point, you can't just start jacking up prices with taxes because people won't be able to afford it. They'll get angry, they'll blame you, and they'll leave. Let's read this story from Reason just the other day. The governor's request for an investigation comes after the release of a report finding the state's taxes and regulations explain half of the higher prices Golden State motorists pay. It could also be because of the taxes, refineries and other companies don't want to come there because they can operate safely and securely in less regulated places. Now, I'm for regulation, right? But you got to have that happy medium. And California, you're facing the brunt of going too far. They say Gavin Newsom is at it again, requesting on Monday that California Attorney General Xavier Becerra investigate possible price fixing by California's major oil and gas companies. The request comes after the release of a new report from the California Energy Commission, which found one partial reason for the Golden State's highest in the nation gas prices to be the higher prices charged by brand retailers like Shell, Chevron, and 76. Newsom had requested this report back in April to figure out why Californian motorists were paying a mystery surcharge, a term that refers to the price difference between state and national gas prices that can't be readily explained by California's higher taxes or unique energy regulations. So that's what I was trying to say before we got into the Daily Caller stuff. It may just be he's not talking about taxes. He's talking about why there is a bigger charge. So I'll give you a simple explanation before we read on. Well, like I said, these companies might not want to be there because of regulations. So you can say the regulations don't cost this, but it could also reduce competition, and it could also then mean that companies have to pay a premium to attract workers to work in the state. Well, let's read. They say Newsom had requested this report back in April to figure out why Californian motorists were paying a mystery surcharge. Oh, we read that already, sorry. There is no identifiable evidence to justify these premium prices, wrote Newsom in his letter to Becerra, according to the LA Times. The mystery surcharge adds up, especially for cost-conscious working families. If oil companies are engaging in false advertising and price-fixing, then legal action should be taken to protect the public. That Newsom would use the release of this report to criticize gas companies for their high prices is somewhat puzzling. After all, the CEC investigation makes clear just how much the state's high taxes and regulations are contributing to higher gas prices. The commission's investigation found that the per-gallon gas prices were roughly 75 cents higher in California last year than in the rest of the country. Of this difference, some 40 cents was attributed to the state's higher taxes, and then a bunch of parentheses, cap-and-trade regulations, and its low carbon fuel standard. Newsom famously supported the state's 2017 gas tax increase and argued against a 2018 ballot measure that would have repealed it. Of the remaining price difference, some 10 cents was the result of higher crude prices in California. Retailer and refiner margins accounted for another 23 cents of the difference. You want to talk about mystery surcharge? Dude, it's simple. If California has a regulation on a certain aspect of the industry that's not directly related to the purchase of fuel, they got to pay for it. So, yeah. Like, it's that simple.
All right, I'll pause that there for a second because it basically boils down to is they spend a lot of time propagandizing about save the planet, because they knew that they're going to be able to tax you even higher. So all these folks out here, these so-called environmentalists getting all upset because they end up having to pay higher prices than the state next to them. Well, what do you expect? You know, these folks, they basically welcomed the taxes. Anon 7638 said, it is the left wing or the right wing of the mafia wars. Sorry, governments are actually more immoral than mafias, so I don't really have a word to call them that isn't swearing. I said I agreed. Anyway, neutrons, protons, electrons over the people. For people said, you have the right to do as you're told. That's right. Know your place and shut your face. That's what. That's the kind of welcome to America. That's what I'm saying. But you know, these folks out here are acting all shocked that you know it costs them more money at the pumps, when in reality, the same candidates who were out there talking about, like you know, Obama said, you know, under my plan, your electric bill will necessarily skyrocket. And he told everybody you could open a coal plant, but you're basically going to be in bankruptcy by the time he's done. So he basically told people that they were going to get screwed. Right there, and they still elected him. They still elected him, and you know, want to save the planet, you know, and they didn't want to be deemed a racist because of his race or whatever. You know, so the whole entire thing was a sham from start to finish. And every single time, it's the people who end up paying. It's you, the average Joe, who end up paying. Higher taxes, higher fuel bills. This is why you can't get anything done when it comes down to common sense, when it comes down to the so-called energy crisis and saving the planet, as they like to say. You know, to try to combat global warming, climate change, climate disruption, or whatever it's going to be next week when the math don't add up. These were all shams that were put into place in order to get you, you know, out there motivated, scaring the little children into believing that doomsday is only 12 years away. And at the end of every single day, it ain't nothing more, nothing less than a way for the system and those who are so corrupt to make yet even more money off of you. It's insane, folks. It is flat out insane. The corruption, it all boils down to the almighty dollar bill. There's a saying that says, he who has the gold makes the rules. And if you think that's not true, try getting something done without money. You know, try rallying the troops up, like I've tried many times to try to build devices, alternative energy devices, to help the world out. You know, to give them what they said they wanted. But the reality is, nothing I say is going to matter unless the people decide that they want it bad enough that they're willing to share the information with everybody. Because we're up against the wall. We got our backs against the wall, and we got the entire weight of the government and the media and the wealthy out there just pressing down on us. And no matter what we say, we're either censored, blocked out completely, and the common sense doesn't ever make it to the light of day. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, old Snively Whiplash has his hand in the cookie jar still, and he's still stealing from you. It's crazy. Anon7638 said there are more people, public, than corporations, politicians, and other power people, elite, and yet there are more laws to protect the elite than the public. And more laws to fine the public than the elites. Logically, the system is way out of balance, and that alone should wake people up. Yeah, I agree. Because they have passed all kinds of laws to ensure that they can't be prosecuted, but you can. Yeah, you can be prosecuted. Prosecuted, persecuted, you name it. And so, It's insanity on a biblical scale, as far as I'm concerned. You know, and to try to get the information out there to the average Joe, you know, it costs me money to do what it is that I do. Now, I don't go around trying to get money from anybody out there. You know, there is a donation link put somewhere in the background of this website, but I don't promote it. I mean, the thing about it is, these folks out there, they have the power. They have the money. They have the resources. They have the lobbyists. And they say the squeakiest wheel gets the grease. So, you and me, we don't have that organization like they do. And we can't get in there to lobby these congressmen like they do. The congressmen and women and the senators and all that, they have people bombarding them all the time with offers of money for re-election and jobs and all that kind of stuff. We can't offer them all these things that they want. And so, obviously, they're not going to vote our way. They don't care what we have to say. They care about job security. They care about keeping that seat. Some of these Congress men and women and senators, men and women both, some of them have been in power for 30, 40 years. And they're so incredibly corrupt, and they can't allow one side or the other to get more power, because if they do, they might actually go to jail for some of their crimes. The mainstream media protects them. And so there are people out there like the Clintons who had committed all kinds of crimes and still do not have to pay a price in the legal system. There are laws on the books that basically protect law enforcement. If they were acting in good faith doctrine will protect them if they make a mistake. Now, that isn't to say that in the civil court that the citizen can't file a lawsuit against them, but as far as being criminally charged, they have protections. Just like the whole deal where a representative from another country will come over there, if they commit a crime, they can claim diplomatic immunity and not be charged for that crime. Just like the power of basically being able to pardon people for crimes, where mayors or governors can actually pardon people, or presidents can actually pardon people. And so, doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you know. It matters who you know and the position that they're in. And so they continuously fight for this power, because there's so much money to be made. There are literally risks that they do not want to, they don't want to go to jail. So they can't let the wrong people in power. And if you go to Congress or the Senate thinking, or even the presidency for that matter, thinking that you're going to, you know, drain the swamp, you might be surprised that when you get there, the swamp is a lot deeper with alligators than you imagine. The corruption in the FBI, the CIA, the DEA, corruption in every single law enforcement agency, corruption in every single government entity, agency, whatever. And it's legal here in the United States of America. Apparently, corruption is legal because they continuously get by with it. Every year, year after year, we hear the same old things. People shouting out about the crimes on this side. People shouting out about the crimes on this side. People trying to twist the law to their favor every single time you turn around, trying to steer public opinion. You can't even get the candidate of your choice elected because they'll try to turn around and overturn the election, or they'll flat out try to steal the election. Election fraud, they say, doesn't exist, which is a blatant lie. There's more election fraud out there than you can shake a stick at. There's more election fraud out there than you can shake a million sticks at. The system is so entirely, incredibly corrupt, it is beyond all imagination. And you can't just say stuff like this. So why am I saying stuff like this? Because it's the truth. Because it's the truth. And I'm not afraid of the system. I know that the system is powerful. I know that the system has the power to basically suppress and destroy me. But I ain't afraid. I know the true power of the people. And the true power hasn't even in a fraction been implemented. When the people realize their true power and decide to stand up and implement it, We're not talking about a violent revolution to overthrow anything. I'm not even anti-government. I'm anti-corruption. But when the people finally realize that their voice has a lot more power than they can possibly imagine, and they decide to come together, then that's when things will change. Neutrons, protons, electrons said here in UK news, it was aired that Labour politicians are going to vote conservative in the general election, and one conservative MP is going to vote Labour. How's that for confusing the people? Yeah! It's like that deal I played with Tulsi Gabbard earlier. She said a lot of the good things. She might be one of the good gals on the Democrat side. For the most part, from all the information that I've gathered, the Democratic Party is so incredibly corrupt and intertwined with everything from child molestation, pedophilia, other crimes against humanity, gun running, drugs, buying and selling favors and everything under the sun. And when it tries to come to light, they fight even harder than they did prior in order for them to actually be able to stay out of jail. Now, am I saying that on the right side that there aren't people involved in the same criminal activities? No. How could I? Because there are establishment candidates on the Republican side as well. You can see it every time they vote with the Democrats. There's corruption in both sides of the doggone bird, so to speak. Right wing, left wing, same wing. They're all corrupt. And the ones that aren't corrupt in there are being corrupted by the ones that are corrupt. They're being bribed. They're being blackmailed. They're being scandaled. They're being cheated, framed, and set up, and everything under the sun. The dirty deeds, man. You go back and watch an old mafia crime movie, The Syndicate, or whatever, and boy, if that don't look like the doggone United States Congress and the Senate to the average Joe, then I don't know what does. How do we fight against this? Well, you got to get some information under your belt. I'm going to play what's left of what he's got going on here.
Contra Newsom's claim that there was no justification for these higher prices, the CEC listed a number of reasons why branded retailers might be commanding a premium at the pump. There are a number of possible reasons why consumers continue to buy higher-priced gasoline, including station location, the acceptance of credit cards, and brand loyalty. There may also be perceived differences in gasoline quality based on retailers' claims regarding gasoline specifications or additive packages. These are all legitimate reasons why consumers are continuing to purchase these higher-priced brands. It's also possible, man, regional, okay? California has specific terrain. It's mountainous in some areas. It's hilly. You got California where you got driving to the valley. That could all play a factor. It's really quite simple. You got a flat desert over here in the Mojave. Yeah, well, it's a straight line and easier to bring these supplies in. Does the drought play a factor? Does weather play a factor? Does the fact that there is a massive demand play a factor? Whatever retailers' reason for charging higher than average gas prices, Newsom's request for a price-fixing investigation seems like a clear attempt to deflect blame from the state's own price-increasing policies. And there it is. If it's his fault, he's not going to get reelected. But I'll tell you what, man. I'm not trying to make this a dig about Democrats, okay? There are Republican-led states that are in much worse condition. In some areas, okay? Homelessness, lack of education, I get it. But California is supposed to be this glorious golden child, right? Where they've got all the different terrain for a vacation, and all the celebrities want to live there. You've got LA and San Francisco. You've got the booming tech industry and the massive billions of trillions of dollars they command, right? Yet for some reason, the state is riddled with disease, homelessness, extremely high gas prices. I mean, beyond the natural disasters, you've got human waste everywhere. So you want to talk about gas price problems? I hear you, man. But I'm going to go ahead and blame you. Based on everything else we've seen from California, am I going to sit here and be like, maybe it's the oil companies that operate the same way in every other state? Nah, man. I think it's you. And I think it's your administration, I think it's your policies, and it's the fact there's no political market competition. You know, here's what happens with a super party, like a super majority. They just keep going in the same direction. They don't got to change. And there you go. So, you know what? I'll leave it there. Stick around. Next segment will be tomorrow, 10 a.m. Podcast at 6:30 p.m. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see you all next time.
You know, this guy right here, that's Tim Pool, and he's actually a Democrat, I believe. At least lean in that direction, liberal. But he's got more common sense on him than just about a lot of people that I've heard on either side. You know, and so with that said, the corruption, it's just mind-blowing. Everybody talks about it, but nobody ever does anything about it. What are you going to do about it? See, Anon 7638 said governments have been back-pocketing foreign diplomats to commit their crimes for them for decades. That is why the diplomatic immunity was created in the first place. Well, there you go. The system protects itself. Put laws into place. Like, you know, police officers can lie to you to get you get dirt on you, to get you to admit to a crime or whatever. Entrapment ain't a thing anymore. So, you know, it's nuts. It's just flat out nuts. And the average Joe still supports the same doggone system. They're still out there, red versus blue. You can get beat up for wearing a red hat. And, you know, people are triggered by everything under the sun. They got all these politically correct words, and you're supposed to be able to accept whether or not biology says one thing or another. All these new genders out there, gender identity and all this kind of craziness. They pushing everything in your face. You know, look, no offense to folks who have a different lifestyle, but you don't have to shove that in my face. That's not what it's all about, you know. And same goes for anything else. You don't like my religious view? Well, then that's all right. You know, go get your own. You don't like my political view? Well, that's all right. Go get your own. But to go out there and shove yours in somebody else's face, protest and get violent because somebody ain't agreeing with you, that's not how the system's supposed to work. The remedy against your government when the government becomes tyrannical has been watered down. You don't have no rights anymore. Know your place and shut your face. Just like neutrons, protons, and electrons said, you have the right to be to do as you're told. You have the right to do as you're told. That's not freedom, folks. It's not freedom in any country.
A lot is here to show you that this is massive corruption. Massive corruption, and we have to be aware. And I don't care where I really, honestly, I don't think this is going to happen. But if it does, if Donald Trump was found to do something impeachable, I would be for it. If the Republicans were doing this, remember, I was on Paul Manafort long before he joined Donald Trump. We were talking about the corruption in Ukraine long before he was with Donald Trump, and we were saying, look at this guy. This guy should go to jail. Look at what he's doing. We were on that story. It doesn't matter who they are, if they're guilty, because this corruption is so deep. Exactly everything that the Democrats said that Donald Trump did in Russia, they did and are still doing in Ukraine. And we don't have a republic if this remains. For instance, one of the things in the phone call that the left made a big deal out of is that he was asking for help. Not for Hunter Biden. The first thing he asked for. What was the first thing he said you have to find? The first thing he said was, you still may be surrounded by really bad guys. There is corruption all around you. And we think though some of those bad guys are still in your circle of advisors. And the president said, I know who you're talking about. This is the president of Ukraine. I know who you're talking about. And no, sir, they are not in my circle. Well, I want you to be sure because they're really bad guys. I understand what you're saying. Then he said, we are looking for a server. Now, what server are they looking for? They're looking for the DNC server. How dare Donald Trump, how dare him tell the Ukrainians to look for a server? I'm going to tie this together with one other thing in a second. The other thing is, he also said, you have somebody that you talk to me about, and I want you to know I got rid of the ambassador, the U.S. ambassador to the Ukraine. I got rid of her. So that obstacle is no longer there. Okay, what is that obstacle? That obstacle was stopping the Ukrainians going into the embassy and saying, I have evidence that your government operatives are doing bad things here. I have information and I have evidence against some people that are coming here to the United States that are interfering in elections, etc., etc. Why would the DNC have a server in Ukraine? Now, this is the one that was hacked. Now, why do they have a DNC server in Ukraine? Well, wouldn't we like to know? So Donald Trump asked for the server. How dare him? Yeah, except that's the same server that James Comey was looking for, that the FBI, the Justice Department was looking for and couldn't find. Remember, they said that server was really, really important for the Russia investigation. That's the same server that Donald Trump is looking for. So if it was so important that the FBI and James Comey needed it, why is it so bad? Because it's going to prove that Donald Trump was guilty, right? So why is everybody upset that he's asking for this server? Why is it so bad that he says, hey, talk to our attorney general about this server. Can you find it? Donald Trump, why would he want the server that was going to prove what he did in Russia? Because the people in the Ukraine, have been trying to get things to the United States, but they were blocked by the DNC. They were blocked by operatives in intelligence, in justice, and in the embassy. I don't know about you, but I'd sure like to see what's on that DNC server. And if it implicates Donald Trump, then it implicates Donald Trump. If it implicates the DNC, then it implicates the DNC.
That's the thing. So, you know, the hypocrisy of all the different things that are said on the media about, you know, who's doing what around, you know, it's mind-blowing. It's just flat-out mind-blowing. I think I already played this one. Let me check.
For the last few years, I've had this sense that everything I learned as a kid about how America's government works is completely wrong. But I had no idea how bad things actually were until I saw this one graph. Researchers at Princeton University looked at more than 20 years worth of data to answer a pretty simple question. Does the government represent the people? Now, this is what they found. This axis here represents public support for any given idea. On the left, at 0%, are ideas that not a single American wants. On the right, at 100%, are ideas that everyone supports. This axis represents the likelihood of Congress passing a law that reflects any of these ideas, from a 0 to a 100% chance. On this graph, an ideal republic would look like this. If 50% of the public supports an idea, there's a 50% chance of it becoming law. If 80% of us support something, there's an 80% chance. You get the idea. Now, most Americans would probably agree that, with a few exceptions, we should be as close to this ideal as possible. Unfortunately, the way America actually works doesn't even come close. Take an idea that nobody supports, literally nobody, and it has about a 30% chance of becoming federal law. Now, take an incredibly popular idea, the most popular idea this country has ever seen, and there's also about a 30% chance of it becoming law. This means that the number of American voters for or against any idea has no impact on the likelihood that Congress will make it law.
Put another way, and I'm just going to quote the Princeton study directly here, the preferences of the average American appear to have only a minuscule, near zero, statistically non-significant impact upon public policy. So if you've ever felt like your opinion doesn't matter and that the government doesn't really care what you think, well, you're right. But there's a catch. This flat line only accounts for the bottom 90% of income earners in America. Economic elites, business interests, people who can afford lobbyists, they get their own line. Look at how much closer their line is to the ideal. When they want something, the government is much more likely to do it. And when they don't, they have the power to completely block it from happening, no matter how much the rest of the country supports it. They get what they want, and guess who ends up paying for it? We pay for it with the most expensive healthcare in the world. We pay for it with a tax code that's a complete mess. We pay for it with internet that's slower and more expensive, with wasteful spending, a floundering education system, a catastrophic drug war, and 1 in 5 American children born into poverty. Almost every major issue we face as a nation can be traced back to this graph. How does this happen? Well, just follow the money. Right now, it's perfectly legal to buy political influence in America. Here's how it works. Let's say a big bank wants a law that would force taxpayers to bail them out again if they repeat the exact same reckless behavior that crashed the global economy in 2008. Not exactly the most popular idea with the public, and Congress knows that. That should be the end of it. But that's where the money comes in. It's perfectly legal for our bank to hire a team of lobbyists, whose entire job is to make sure that the government gives the bank what it wants. Then, those lobbyists can track down members of Congress who regulate banks and help raise a ton of money for their re-election campaigns. It's perfectly legal for those lobbyists to offer those same politicians million-dollar jobs at their lobbying firm. Then, those lobbyists can literally write the language of this new bailout law themselves and hand it off to the politician they just buttered up with campaign money and lucrative job offers. And it's perfectly legal for those politicians to take the lobbyist-written language and sneak it through Congress at the last second. So now you've got a law that greatly benefits the banks, and the whole process can start over. This is how a bill becomes a law. A special interest hires some lobbyists, those lobbyists collect campaign contributions, offer jobs, and then write the laws that Congress then passes to help those same special interests. This happens every day on every single issue with politicians of both parties. In the last 5 years alone, the 200 most politically active companies in the United States spent $5.8 billion influencing your government. Those same companies got $4.4 trillion in taxpayer support. And that's trillion, with a T. And that's just the top 200 companies. Never mind every other special interest, every union, every trade association, and every billionaire. Every single one of them can use their money to buy political influence. You know, there's this idea out there that this only became a problem after the Supreme Court Citizens United decision in 2010. But the data goes back almost 40 years, and the results are clear. Corruption is legal in America. And as long as it is, anyone who can spend money to buy political influence will. The solution here isn't rocket science. Make corruption illegal. We already know Congress won't do it. I mean, one look at this chart will tell you that. What we need is a plan that lets us go around Congress and do what the American people do best. Fix this mess ourselves. Well, good news. We have that plan and it's already working. Now that we've got the problem covered, let us show you how to be part of the solution.
All right, so go to www.represent.us and check out what their solution is. My idea, my solution basically would be that the people start realizing that they're being played like a banjo and really seriously get involved in their situations and try to resolve it the best way possible. Anyway, I'm going to keep on rolling here.
So the Democrats were called out on their bluff in regards to red flag laws this week, and they were exposed for exactly who they are. The House Democrats advanced a new measure to encourage states to pass red flag laws, known as extreme risk protection orders, that authorize the removal of guns and ammunition from, quote, dangerous individuals. But guess what? Someone called them on their bluff, submitted an amendment, and that amendment was overwhelmingly rejected by the Democrats. And guess what that amendment was? Well, that amendment would have red flagged anyone who law enforcement has in a gang database. You know, the people who actually caused the majority of shootings in this country. You know, the shootings that the media doesn't really report on, like the shootings of rival gang members at funerals in Chicago, or the various shootings that occur in places like Baltimore and St. Louis, where they should be considered mass shootings since four or more are injured or killed in these instances, but of course, they're not in most databases, and the media doesn't cover them because they're gang members with illegally obtained weapons, which is how most of the crime guns are registered as by authorities. As a matter of fact, according to the Bureau of Justice, I've gone over these statistics in the past, the vast majority of crime guns that are seized by authorities are actually illegally obtained on the black market is the biggest way that they obtain them. But of course, the Democrats were called out on their bluff. We're going to go through this. We're going to talk about red flag laws for gang members and why the Democrats overwhelmingly rejected anyone going after gang members in this country. But before we get started, I just want to thank this video sponsor. This video has been brought to you by My Patriot Wear. Own your piece of American history today with the Trump 2020 Limited Edition Patriot Cup Set. This three-piece set is not sold in stores and handmade right here in the USA. Each order helps the channel out tremendously. The tumbler cups contain a narrow mouth opening that is perfect to drink from, and a narrow bottom that fits standard cup holders. Get ready to throw out your Yeti mug because these stainless steel cups provide maximum durability against damages, and a vacuum sealed lid insulates cold drinks for 24 hours and hot drinks for 12 hours. These cups are all 30 ounces, so there's plenty of liquid space. And if you buy today, you can receive 15% off if you type in the code VINCENT15. Just visit PatriotCups.com, that's PatriotCups.com, and use code VINCENT15 for 15% off. So let's get into it here. Democrats from...
So, just in case you know, I went ahead and let that, that ad go through because I'm actually using this guy's content, but there's some important points to be made here.
Oh, now, and targeting gang databases with red flag laws. Interesting. Interesting. They've been called out on their bluff here, and we're going to explain why. Democrats on the House Judiciary Committee amended the measure during a Wednesday markup to authorize the federal government to issue extreme risk protection orders in some instances, but they rejected an amendment that would have red flagged anyone who law enforcement lists as a gang member. Interesting. So not only do they want to go after the gun that accounts for the least amount of deaths in this country by gun, the AR-15, right? If we look at the statistics, not only do they account for the least amount of all shootings in this country, but they also account for the least amount of mass shootings in this country. Indiscriminate rampages in public areas, not including gang or drive-by shootings. They account for the least amount of those, and outside of that, when you look at all shootings and you look into the statistics by the FBI, they account for less deaths than hammers do when you look at these statistics. So not only do they want to go after the weapon that is involved in the least amount of shootings ever in the history of the country every single year, now they want to refuse to go after the people who account for the most amount of shootings in this country, the most amount of shootings, which are gang-involved shootings. I mean, if you just look at the, for instance, the funeral, the rival gang members being shot at funerals in Chicago. I mean, this happens pretty often in the city of Chicago. It happens pretty often in the city of Baltimore, in the city of St. Louis, in some of these different cities across the country. As a matter of fact, you have a higher risk of being murdered in the city of Baltimore than you do in the city of Rio de Janeiro. It's 56 per 100,000 homicide rate in Baltimore. I think in Rio de Janeiro it's like 29 per 100,000 homicide rate. So
anyway, I wanted this to play a little bit because when it comes down to the Second Amendment, I don't honestly think that these folks actually really want gun control per se. Now, if they could somehow or another wave a magic wand and take all the weapons out of the hands of the people, they would probably do that in a heartbeat, but for obvious reasons, such as an armed revolution, they probably don't want to attempt that. But I think that whenever they do, you know, when they target specific firearms out there, they're not targeting the firearm per se, that they're actually targeting the industry and the financial status of those who own those industries, because it's all about money in the system that we're in. So if you can hurt somebody's pocket on one side and while at the same time putting money in your pocket via donations, and they probably get a lot of donations from people out there who believe in gun control. And you heard about the lobbyists that are going around collecting donations. They're not just collecting donations from the rich. They're collecting donations from the average Joe. The average Joe is helping to support the lobbyists. And they don't even realize it. You give that money to those candidates out there, you think you're trying to get that candidate elected, you're actually helping those lobbyists build a power structure to where they can get things, you know, enacted that otherwise the citizens wouldn't want anyway. So, how are we going to fight against this? That's a really good question. You know? So, Christopher Maresha put a comment that says, cops make up false laws. They do. Cops don't know the laws. Cops aren't attorneys. But it's worse than that. The judges in today's day and age, remember I said we haven't even scratched the surface of the corruption. The judges in today's day and age are actually legislating from the bench. And in a lot of cases, they get by with it. You know, you got the executive branch of government to enforce the law, you got the judicial branch of government to interpret the law, and you got the legislative branch of government to write the law. Those three are supposedly separate entities. But when you got corruption in, you know, the executive branch and the judicial branch and the legislative branch, all the whole system begins to fall apart. And it's all basically a game that you're not meant to win, flat out. You're not meant to have power in this system. If your rights really did matter, you wouldn't have law enforcement officers laughing in your face when you quote the Constitution. They swore an oath to uphold the Constitution, but all these different people out there, you know, for gun control and all this kind of stuff, I think even those folks are actually being duped. Let's hear a little bit more what this guy's got to say.
They've been called on their bluff. They don't want to go after anyone in the gangs databases. See, Kamala Harris was thinking more of along the lines of, like, white nationalists and things like that. People who have been deemed a white nationalist by the mainstream media. These are the people that we should red flag law. You know, a very, very, very tiny, itsy-bitsy portion of our population, as compared to, even compared to when you look at the SPLC themselves, they say that black nationalists actually make up the majority, the largest portion of groups on the hate map, rather than, versus white nationalists do. See, they think that going after gangs' databases is racist because the majority of gang members, unfortunately, the statistics show us from the National Gang Center, are either Hispanic or African-American. They view this as something that is racist, that we can't go after gang databases, we can't red flag people on gang databases because we don't want to go after those people. We want to go after those.
All right, pause that for a second because there's a comment in the super chat. Anon7638 says, I wonder if you could call the Masons, the Illuminati, or the Skull and Bones a gang. Maybe that's why they don't want those targeting laws. Yeah, well, some of those organizations are quite literally probably easy enough to be labeled as terrorists, and so they would fall under other laws as well. So, like I said, the system always puts into place things that are going to benefit them. That's how it works. And so that's why the banking industry is still able to be as corrupt as it is. And, you know, it's just mind-blowing how many people how many people fall for it. So, how do you, as the average Joe, not get so incredibly overwhelmed and think that this is all hopeless and there's nothing that we can do about it? Well, I look at it like this. As long as you got the separation of powers, the left versus the right, you got the executive branch, the legislative branch, the judicial branch, at the very least, it slows them down. It's like a piece of chewing gum on the grocery cart, you know? It's got that little clunk every so often that slows you down. And so that kind of buys us some time to try to weed our way through all this mess and try to find some sort of resolution that we can use together in order to be able to solve this problem. And the biggest thing is, we can't do it unless we do come together. It's like that grasshopper kept saying to what he said to the ants in the Bug's Life clip that I keep playing. So those ants outnumber us 100 to 1, and when they realize that, our way of life is going to change. These folks don't want you to come together. That's why they're constantly putting things in your way to get you to fight with each other. As long as you're fighting with each other, they can get by with the things that they're doing. So let me see if it's got any more good points on this thing here.
The white people, right? The right-wing people. These are the people that people like Kamala Harris see as the perfect red flag law example. Because they keep regurgitating this false talking point of, like, white men commit the most amount of mass shootings, or white men, we have to be fearful of white men, or like these, you know, the very famous very famous Twitter screenshots that have been going around by this verified account, whiteness is killing us, white people are killing us, they're killing our children, so on and so forth. When you actually look at the statistics, it's the exact opposite. It's the exact opposite. Not only do black nationalists make up a larger portion on the hate map while only representing 13% of our population, according to the SPLC, but you look into the hate crime per 100,000 according to the FBI, and you're 3 times more likely to get hate crime perpetrated that is black or African American out of 100,000 black or African Americans in this country than you are 100,000 white Americans, according to the mathematics, according to the statistics that they don't want to show you. Just as they don't want to show you the recent 25 attacks on Jewish Americans in New York City that were perpetrated by black or African Americans. Just like they don't want to show you the fact that there were recent strings of robberies that have happened where mobs of black teens were attacking random white individuals in various states and various cities throughout our country. If those roles were reversed, of course you wouldn't hear Don Lemon stop talking about these stories for about 7 days straight, but of course the media buries those completely. Now, we know there's lots of reasons for why they don't want to go after gang databases, and as a matter of fact, they want to completely get rid of gang databases. It's because they say that immigration is relying on gangs' databases. Immigration enforcement is relying on gang databases. Unchecked discretion and undesirable consequences, according to Rebecca A. Hofstadter. You hear Beto O'Rourke and some of these other Democratic politicians talk about, oh, the criminal justice system is racist, it's inherently racist, it's systemic racism, so on and so forth, because there's an overrepresentation of black Americans in our prison system in America. But they don't tell you the fact that the homicide rate is 5 times the national average. They don't tell you the fact that only 13% of our population account for over 50% of the arrests for homicides. Politicians in the UK have had a similar approach. Sadiq Khan comes to mind, of course, who ordered the overhaul back in 2018 of the Metropolitan Police's, quote, racially disproportionate gangs database. Once again, they're not admitting the truth. The truth of the matter is that the majority of the crimes that are perpetrated in places like London are, you can see that it's heavier to one side of the demographic scale than the other. Unfortunately, this is the way that it is across the world. But no one really wants to admit the truth, of course. They just want to keep screaming racism as the reason for everything. But the gangs database is what they went after there, is what the left went after there, of course, because it disproportionately had black and people of color on the gangs database in London. And guess what? In Chicago as well! Chicago County, Cook County Board votes to permanently dismantle the gangs database because they said it was discriminatory. They say it's because it had an overwhelming portion that was an error. But actually, when you look at the statistics of which, how many were in error, it says that as of July, the database contained the names of 25,000 people suspected of being affiliated with more than 400 gangs and gang factions. More than 400 people in the database were listed as dead, and 150 others had gang listing of unknown or null. So we're looking at a very, very, very small portion that was actually an error. When you actually look at the statistics of it, 25,000 people on the database, minus 2%, 500. So you're looking at a 2% margin of error in a gang's database. That's actually pretty accurate, as a matter of fact. But that's not the reason. The reason is, just like Sadiq Khan said, it's a racially disproportionate gangs database. And this is why Al-Manaya and the rest of the left in the country want to dismantle every single gangs database in the entire country. Why? Because guess what? Number one, immigration uses these gangs databases. Sadiq Khan is one of the biggest hypocrites, of course, in the world. Sadiq Khan said that I do everything in my power to cut, stop and search, stop and frisk, whatever you want to refer to it as. And he promised to drive down the use of stop and search by the Metropolitan Police if he was elected to City Hall. This is what he promised to do. Well, guess what? Guess what Sadiq Khan is doing? He has actually significantly increased stop and search in London. And the mayor actually says the targeted use of powers will get weapons off the streets amid a rise in stabbings. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. That is Galatians 5:1, and I will leave you with that. Videos are posted every single day here about breaking news topics, so make sure you hit the bell button if you haven't already so that you are notified. Check the description for links to Patreon and PayPal, and of course follow me on Gab, Minds, BitChute, and Instagram, links in the description as well. And of course these videos only go so far, so be sure to share with family and friends.
Alright, so, you know, Christopher Moresh posted a link for Snopes fact check. Do you need a driver's license to legally drive on public roads? See, this is another issue that's out there, whether or not you actually really need a driver's license to travel unless you're doing commercial. This is one of the things that the people can actually do to get out there and find out the truth of whether or not, and put it in such a easy form where it's irrefutable if it's indeed the facts. The problem is that there are so many laws on the books, whether they're legal or not, that's all to be interpreted, and that's what the judicial branch of government was actually supposed to be for, yet that's not what they do. And as far as driving without a driver's license, you know, most officers, they believe that you have to have a driver's license, and so they will take you to jail. And under their protection, which is the good faith doctrine, they will not be prosecuted if they're in the wrong. If it's proven that they're in the wrong, they will not be prosecuted for it. But, you know, that's the whole thing. If you don't know your rights, if you don't know the true law, then they're going to get by with everything. They have turned and twisted and snuck things into legislation. That's when they want something done, they put all kinds of stuff in bills that have absolutely nothing to do with the law that they're writing. They'll put things in there that basically give them money, give them more funding. And they sneak it in. They sneak it in right underneath the people's noses. So, let me move on here. But as far as the driver's license, I don't know. How could you know until you actually did the full research? If you could find the documentation and you could get it verified, which is nearly impossible because most attorneys out there, they probably don't know it either. And the ones who do probably ain't going to say nothing about it. So, you know, to finally get some sort of case before the Supreme Court and get the Supreme Court to actually say, nope, you don't need it, then, you know, that's the battle you're up against. Because otherwise, you know, it's like implied consent. You want to drive. Driving's not a right, it's a privilege, is what they say, and, you know, charging you money for the driver's license, you know, It might be classified as a tax. Who knows? But either way, let's just keep rolling.
Joining us now, an honored guest, Rudy Giuliani, former mayor of New York City and a big Trump guy. Your Honor, welcome to the show.
How are you, Stuart?
Oh, I'm well. But a lot of people say to me, listen, what is going on in America? The FBI is compromised. The IRS is compromised. The Justice Department is compromised. There are questions about the actual poll itself. Answer the question. What's going on in America?
Well, we have a corrupt government. I mean, there's no question that the Obama administration is corrupt. The FBI decision on Trump several months ago was a clearly corrupt decision. She meets with the
FBI decision on Hillary.
Yeah, I mean, she meets with the president, the wife of the subject of the, yep. the husband of the subject of the campaign. The decision lays out every fact that you would need to prosecute. It comes to the conclusion of not prosecuting. Now we find out the number two guy in the investigation, his wife got $675,000 from Terry McAuliffe, who was the guy that was selling the Lincoln bedroom way back in the first Clinton administration. But these, I mean, the Clintons have scandals that, you know, if we listed them, they'd be up to the sky.
But they've got no traction. I mean,
I believe
Clinton is still well out on the lead.
I believe they're beginning to have, and I also, gosh, I don't trust the polls. I mean, I was with him for the last 4 days, each rally for each of the last 4 days. The last one I was with him was in St. Augustine, Florida. A mile, 2 miles away, there were anywhere from 5,000 to 10,000 people marching to get to the rally on time. We can only let 25,000 in. You compare that with her rally, which we saw on television, where they had about 30 people. I mean, something's going on, and there's an enthusiasm level for him I haven't seen in any campaign I've ever been in, for me or the five presidential campaigns I've campaigned in for myself and four others.
Hillary Clinton still has 5-6 point lead in most national polls. Are we grasping at straws if we say, well, he's coming back.
All right, so this is an old podcast. It was back during the 2016 election, but the point of wanting to play this is even the government is telling you that the government's corrupt. There's all kinds of debates inside the doggone Congress where you hear congressmen and women saying, you know, because the Democrats now have the majority in there, they're trying to pull all kinds of dirty deeds so that they can ensure more power. But even the senators and the congressmen are telling you that the system's broken, it's corrupt, and, you know, the ones that's in there trying to actually do, you know, fighting for the people, it might be that, you know, it might be just a show on their part, but, you know, to get reelected. But, you know, how can you not see it, you know? If we can see it out here, then they should be able to see it. Let's see. Also, back to the driver's license thing. I honestly believe it's not necessary for you to actually have a driver's license. But as far as whether or not I would drive without one, I'm more fearful of the doggone law enforcement than I am of the driver's license. So, you know, I don't want to give the law enforcement any opportunity to do anything bad to me. I don't want to pay the doggone judge any money. I don't want to help buy the judge a new jacuzzi and the attorney's fees and all that kind of stuff. As far as I'm concerned, I want to stay as far away from law enforcement and government agencies as I possibly can because of the corruption that is involved with those agencies. I don't trust the government. And you can quote me on that. I do not trust the government. And there's a really good reasons why.
I think we can all agree that political corruption is a bad thing. And you don't get more black and white in this regard than the case of former Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell.
Former Republican Governor of Virginia Bob McDonnell has now been sentenced to 2 years in prison.
24 months. That is how long Bob McDonnell will spend in jail for corruption charges.
Last year, McDonnell was convicted of accepting gifts from a donor in exchange for political favors. This kind of personal corruption, quid pro quo stuff, is what we're used to seeing on television and in film. Put simply, we don't want those in power, our elected leaders, to take ethical shortcuts, and we shouldn't. But Our defenses are fragile if personal corruption is the only kind we recognize and protect ourselves against. Unfortunately, this is exactly the case in the United States. A little over 5 years ago, the Supreme Court, in the landmark decision of Citizens United versus the FEC, took up the argument against structural corruption. What happens when the political system itself is dependent on money from private interests and found it wanting?
Last week, the Supreme Court reversed a century of law that I believe will open the floodgates for special interests.
The majority decided that political donations from however large an entity are protected as a form of free speech. But does this misunderstand the way politics actually works? Though there is no explicit promise of legislative favors for campaign donors, politicians remain indebted to their wealthiest benefactors, and this debt weaves its way into policy decisions that consider the needs of private interests over those of the commonwealth. Now, the key argument against regulating this kind of structural corruption is that it's hard to determine where free speech ends and political corruption begins, and that it may not be the court's place to draw that line.
The premise is freedom of speech. The more speech, the better.
But by only recognizing something for something personal corruption, the courts actually do draw a line and abdicate themselves from the complex interplay of money and politics. Now, I guess most people who accuse American politics of being corrupt do so because they see an essential unfairness in the system, reflected in vast economic inequality that's getting worse, not better, as time goes on. When the power of a political campaign comes down to the size of its coffers, it's easy to see how moneyed interests retain an improper advantage. And when that advantage serves to worsen existing inequalities in the system, such politics are, at least in part, structurally corrupt. Worst of all, structural corruption, more so than personal corruption, perpetuates the idea that individual people don't have a voice in politics, that putting the needs of the Commonwealth first is impossible, and so it's pointless to try. Ironically, this kind of collective action, diminished by the free speech of wealthy special interests, is the only way to protect democracy from the corrupting influences that plague it.
There's that word, democracy, again.
Hey, everybody, thanks for watching. If you want to support the Nerdwriter and help me keep making these videos, you can go to patreon.com/nerdwriter and pledge as little as $1. Anything and everything helps. Thank you so much for that. If you have a Patreon reward, do...
So... Folks, even in the general public, still don't get it. United States is not a democracy. We've never been a democracy, and they constantly keep on saying democracy. But nonetheless, some of the points being made is basically the truth. You know, the way that the system's set up and the corruption is basically it's legal. Yeah, let's just say it. It's corruption is legal in America. That's what the system shows us. It's perfectly legal to accept donations, and the Supreme Court and all the different entities out there that are supposedly there to enforce the law, even the ones who are supposed to be interpreting the law. You know, all these lines are getting blurred, and the citizen is up against the wall, quite literally being frisked by the government. On a regular basis. So yeah, welcome to America. You know, these folks out there that say they want to get gun red flag laws out there, and then turn around and argue against you know, putting gangs on a red flag law because of their race or whatever. You know, hey, if the statistics say that most of the gangs and the gun violence are being perpetrated by, you know, a specific race or a couple of specific races, then, you know, the numbers don't lie. But that's not what you hear. But in the process of them, they want to get what they want, but they don't want to diminish what they need in that same episode, if that makes any sense. Such as immigration. They talk about they want immigration reform on both sides, but they're not talking about the same type of immigration reform. The Democrats all obviously want as much illegal immigration as possible because those folks are more likely going to vote for them because they offer all the freebies and everything, and they offer, you know, at least to make it sound good, you know, and they call the other side a racist. So, you know, if you're of a specific race and you hear that the other side's racist against your race, well, then you're more than likely going to vote for the one you think is not the racist, regardless of history and the Democratic Party and racism. You know, the real truth of the story, you don't get the real truth of the story. And that's why in the education system, they're trying to hide the past. They're trying to hide all these different events and who was doing what back in the day. But all you got to do is follow the true history. You'll find the corruption. Follow the money. You'll find it. You'll find the corruption. And how you, the average Joe's ever going to be able to fight against a system that's so messed up is, you know, you're going to have to get involved. You're going to have to get informed. You're going to have to find the truth out there. You have to weed through it like everybody else who's, you know, woke up and realized that something stinks. You know, you're going to have to weed through it. That's the only way to do it. But, you know, incrementally, we got to start working our way back on the right side of things before this thing is so far out of whack that there ain't no way to fix it. These folks, they know how to sneak laws through. And, you know, it's like the red light cameras. They said, well, we're not going to be using these for traffic enforcement because a lot of people were worried about if somebody borrows their car, they'd get a ticket for somebody else's driving, even though they weren't driving their own car. Well, they said that they weren't going to use these for traffic enforcement. A couple years later, guess what? They're using them for traffic enforcement. You have to get the real ID now by 2020. And in order to get that, you got to produce a whole bunch of documents to prove who you are. Yet, California gives people who aren't even here legally driver's license. So, what gives here? It's like there's two separate laws, one for the citizen and one for the non-citizen, and one for the government and one for the non-government. So the scales of justice, the balance of power and all that kind of stuff is so far out of whack that the average Joe finally just like throws their hands up in the air. Oh, it's too bad, I can't do nothing about it. Well, I'm telling you, you can do something about it. I'm telling you, the average Joe, your voice does matter. When you get out there and talk to people out there, you're going to come across a lot of people, you know, trying to kick you in the teeth because you're going against their beliefs because they've been watching CNN, MSNBC, ABC, and all the major news networks, and they believe what they say on there. They believe that if you're white, you're a racist. They believe if you wear a red hat, you're a racist. They believe all this stuff. They've been propagandized. They've been indoctrinated. They've been hypnotized. You go out there to the college campuses. The college campuses are probably the most powerful arm of the criminal elite corruption in the history of time. College campuses breed people who are going to support the system at any cost. They don't have no problem getting out there destroying their own communities and hurting people and using violence. Even though they say they want safe spaces, they want non-violence, they want all this, but yet they go out there and do counterproductive and contrary to what they claim on a regular basis. And the education in the government indoctrination centers known as the public schools is just as bad because it puts fear in little kids. It puts false science and false histories and everything. It basically makes them so that they can't do anything more than be a working person. They can't strive for being a great inventor or, you know, something really good, you know. They can't do that because they're not encouraged to think outside the box. They're not encouraged to, you know, think critically or use common sense. They're encouraged to follow the herd, so to speak. The sheeple, if that's what you want to say. And so with that type of encouragement and everybody believing the same lies, you step outside the line and you're talking outside the box, they will come against you. Because you're going against the herd. You're going against their belief system. Doggone, the one world religion of global warming slash climate change slash climate disruption ought to be the biggest red flag in the world. Based on bogus science, they have formed a religion that literally has people convinced that the apocalypse is right around the bend. The doomsday is right around the bend. And we have to have the big government saviors to rush in there and charge everybody taxes so that they won't pollute, which is ridiculous, because if you're charging a carbon tax that can actually be traded on the market so somebody else can pollute just as much or more, you know, that's how's that working? You know, and our systems of recycling, all this other craziness out there, you know, if you recycle, it's a feel-good thing. Oh, yeah, I'm protecting the environment. And then you're voting in the people who are not protecting the environment. You're voting in the people who are corrupt. You're voting in the people who are going to sell carbon taxes so that this guy over here can pollute. Huh. It's crazy. It's beyond crazy. So, I don't know where the other Knights of the Round Table are, but Barry says they're coming to get us all real soon. I don't doubt that, none. I don't doubt that. I know they got the power structure in place. I know that they have the laws in place. That George Orwell's 1984 I can't even pronounce it, Huxley or whatever, Brave New World, it's coming. So, you know, what do you do, man? Now that you've heard all this kind of stuff right here, it sounds completely and utterly hopeless. It sounds beyond repair. You know, we've said on this show many times that you don't need to overthrow the system. You just need to start building your own system. And when your system's in place, the other one eventually will, you know, it'll just go away. You look back in history at things that actually did work before money and after money, the differences. There's one point in history where our money here in the United States was actually backed by gold. They had what they called silver certificates that you could actually go exchange for a dollar's worth of silver. You can't do that anymore because it's not backed by silver anymore. It's actually a petrol, oil-based economy. And this is why alternative energies get such a bad name. This is why they do everything to fight against solar and wind and green energy deals. This is why they actually take the time to pay people money, real money, well, fake funny money, monopoly money. So they take the time to pay people to come around and hassle folks that really want to do something about. They really want to do something about it. You know, and I'm sitting here trying to, let me see this. Let me see if I can add Barry in here. What's the hassle, man? So, while this call, I'll finish out what I was saying. They actually spend money to have paid agitators go out there and fight against everything. Everything that could possibly put a dent in their financial system. Alright, I'm calling there, Barry. You gotta pick up, brother. Yeah. Sorry about that, folks. trying to get Barry on the show here. But he ain't picking up the phone. Alright, your turn. Call me. Ah. Alright. So, basically, the system has put in all kinds of self-protection. Hey, see, that's how you do it. When your phone rings, you click on that answer deal. Ah. Hi, Barry.
How you doing there, Shiz?
Pretty good.
Right. I hit the wrong button when you rang me there.
Oh, you hung up on me, huh?
Yeah, well, I didn't mean to. I just kind of looked at it and hit the wrong button. Anyways, it's all good. All
right, it's the green button in the future.
First time I've done that before. And, yeah, we got our first little sprinkle of snow up here last night, so winter is here. I'm not liking it.
Yeah, they're talking about ice and snow here where I'm at, so. Yeah, it's coming. But it's that global warming, man.
It is, it is. It's, yeah. It's showing up everywhere. The projections for this winter are some of the coldest temperatures we're going to see for a while is what the forecast is. So it's all good to see that global warming is working.
Yeah. So I'm hoping to get some of that warming over here. But anyway, we've been talking about corruption being legal in the U.S. What do you think of that?
Well, it's been legal for a long time, man.
Yeah.
Well, of course, there's two sets of laws in society. We know that. Just take a look at what's going on here in Canada, man. I mean, we have a prime minister that has blatantly broken criminal laws. And the proof is beyond overwhelming. It is absolutely 100% undeniable proof of his breaking laws, criminal offenses in Canada, and the RSMP are standing down on it. So what does that tell you?
Well, same thing it tells me when you talk about, like, Hillary and the emails and the servers and you know, the FBI corruption, the Benghazi thing, the doggone gun running. There's so many different, just examples after examples of government corruption where if you and I would have done a fraction of that, you know, we'd be so far under jail, we'd be speaking a foreign language.
I think there's going to be some pretty crazy stuff going on in the United States here in the next little while. I've been following the events down there very closely, and I think you're going to see the lid taken off the can of the worms. I really do.
I hope so.
But, well, where it's going to go, that's the big question. What's going to be the result of all this, these indictments that are going to be unsealed when people start getting arrested, people with really big names start getting arrested? What kind of effect is that going to have on America? And where is that going? I believe it's all orchestrated part of a plan. I think that everything that's going on is all thought about, pre-planned. They know how society's going to react, and they'll come up with a solution. But we're in pretty crazy times right now. I mean, in the next little while, we could see some really, really crazy stuff go on down there.
Well, they already got their solutions in play. I don't know what it is, but somehow or another, every time I talk, I get some sort of chirping in the background.
Chirping.
Yeah, can you turn your speakers down just a hair or something?
Yeah, I can. Hang on.
Testing 1-2, 1-2, hello.
Hello, is that better?
Yeah, that's better. I was speeding back on myself. Anyway, I
think, where's Patty and Barbara today?
I don't know. They're probably
girls, man.
They're probably out on a walkabout in nature and having a good time. You know, but anyway, like I say, back to the whole corruption thing, they've already got their solution in place. You know, that's why they want to get everybody fighting. They're doing that in every nation out there. They want everybody fighting. And so that, you know, when we get out of hand, well, then they can turn around and say, well, we got to come in and bring the peace, right? That's the whole plan all along. And people are falling for it.
Divide and conquer.
Yep.
And we see it really ramping up now. Society is so divided. We're all fighting amongst ourselves, so we don't see the real enemy. And they're masters at disruption, they're masters at division. And we see the effects now in society. Well, we can't get together and address the enemy because we're all fighting each other over stupid stuff.
Yeah, and that's why I like...
Who won the hockey game last night? And my team's better than your team.
Yeah.
And if you beat my team, I'm coming down there and I'm going to beat up on you.
Yeah, if I win, I'm going to burn down my own neighborhood.
My whole life is focused on my team, man. It is the most important thing in the world right now. Well, I'll tell you.
Well, that's why the hopes with this show right here, you know, is if we could at least get some common sense to stick out there in the minds of people, and they start sharing that information with each other, then maybe there's hope. But as it stands, the real power is in the mainstream media. The real power is in all these social media networks that have the power to shut you and I down when we don't say what they think we should say.
Well, when you have 8 families controlling all the media in North America, then you know you got a problem.
Yep.
And that's what we're dealing with right now.
So you know you and I's on the list, you know.
And honestly, as it is, I believe they're going to come after all of us really, really hard here. We're at that point now. We're into a full-blown fascist society. And nothing is off the table right now. And, people like you and people like me and people that are even speaking against the government, I think they're all going to be, we're all going to be brought into very, very bad times in the very near future.
Yeah.
They're really ramping this up.
The conversation came up about, you know, Americans, whether we needed a driver's license to drive. I don't think we actually do because of the law, the way the law was actually written. However, I personally, I'm not going to drive without a driver's license because I fear the criminal militarized cops more than I do the driver's license.
Yep. You know?
And that's a shame because that ain't what society, as far as being an American, is supposed to be about. You know, freedom and justice and all that. There ain't no justice when you go into a court that don't want to hear nothing you have to say unless you have an attorney that speaks their language. You know, which is, hey, give me money and I'll let you go.
Hey, you look at cops now, she says, and they don't look like cops anymore. They look like they're ready to go to war.
Yeah, they do. And ironically enough,
they got more bells and whistles and stuff on them. I don't know what half the stuff is they got on them, but I don't think it's a really good idea because if they got to chase a bad guy, so they're going to be at a big disadvantage.
I don't think that they chase them too much. I think that more likely would rather just shoot somebody. But anyway, yeah. I saw a picture a while back. I can't remember where I saw it at, but somebody had took a picture of the Nazi stormtroopers and put it side by side with the modern day law enforcement, and the similarities were mind blowing.
Everything going on right now in our society is an exact duplicate of what was going on in Germany in 1934 to 1937.
Yeah,
it's almost to the T.
That's scary stuff, man.
Well, if people don't see that, you should study history a little bit. I don't study it a lot, but I have read a bit of the Mein Kampf. And I read a little bit of the Communist Manifesto. And what we see right now are just page for page exactly how to take down a society.
Yep, and they do. And, you know, I heard that George Soros was banned from like 6 different countries. And
yeah. But where is that going to go, man?
But does
Hillary Clinton still walking free on the streets of America? Why is she still free?
I was getting ready to say, but does that matter? Because it seems like money can reach across the international boundaries. You know, you can use your power without ever even having to go to a country. You see what I mean?
Yeah, you're right.
So, you know, I think the biggest solution is to get money completely out of government, to get somebody in there passing doggone laws that makes it a flat-out felony. If you take any bribe or any donation from any corporation or whatever.
let's outlaw lobbying.
Yeah. Let's get that right off the books,
I'll tell you. If you think your governments are working for you, you've got your head in the sand because they're working for the corporations that are lobbying.
Yep.
Lobbying. How much money gets spent on lobbying every year and how that's a backdoor into government decisions. It's unbelievable.
Lobbying isn't done by people just coming up there telling the government individuals what the citizens want. Lobbying is going up there offering them bribes and talking about, I'm going to give you money for your campaign, and I'm going to give you a job with my company whenever you're done, all this kind of stuff. So that needs to be illegal, flat out. You know,
well, talk about election fraud, man. What happened in Canada here, right, in this election, which is, it was a rigged election. There's absolutely no way in the world, based on the polls going across the country of the disdain for Justin Trudeau, that he would get a minority government. But
no,
here
I
he
don't
is,
doubt
again.
It none at all. And as far as all these people talking about foreign entities involved, you know, tampering with each other's election, I believe that's been going on all along. I believe the big bankers and the money men of the world have been tampering with every election. Like somebody here in the U.S. Who's wealthy as heck could, you know, lobby, you send lobbyists over to Canada to get Trudeau back in office again. So, you know, and that and blatant election fraud where the machines, you vote for this guy and a vote pops up for the other guy kind of thing.
Well, what's going on in Canada? Our country's going down the tubes here, Shaziz, because sure, the Liberals got in with minority, but they also are working with the NDP's Jagmeet Singh. Sort of meeting, nobody was allowed. And of course, the decisions and how they were going to handle the results of the election. They knew that Trudeau wasn't going to get a majority. So I know that the NDP and Trudeau are working together. So if you combine the votes, you now have majority decisions on things in Canada that we don't have any way of stopping against. Same situation we had for the last 4 years.
Yeah, I bet if you took all the aspects of what it is that about the different policies that he backs up, you imagine.
Oh, man. Unbelievable what this could just bringing out the LGBTQ poppy in Canada. Did you see that? This?
Oh, I missed it.
Oh boy, I'll tell you, he has really crossed the line.
But what I'm saying is,
a poppy, a multicolored LGBTQ poppy, and a girl in school in Markham, Ontario. The school wanted the students to wear these poppies, and she said no. This has nothing to do with Remembrance Day. That. And then the school expelled her, and expelled her on the basis of hate crime. A hate speech. I'll post the links in the chat room here for
what
you.
What I was trying to say, though,
example of what they're doing
is, I bet that if you took those policies and matched them up with the policies of the left, at least the left on this over here in the U.S., I bet they're identical. And I bet you could do that in any other country out there, with exception maybe of Russia. I think Russia's kind of like, they're not buying a whole lot of what the rest of the world is trying to sell. So, you know, that might be one reason why the Democratic Party is always trying to, like, do business behind the scenes with Russia, however, try to demonize them in public with, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Call the wolf a wolf, but call him a sheep when you're talking to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, the dirty deeds that are done out there, you know, basically backed by all kinds of money interests around the world, we got to get the money out of our our election system. We got to get the money out. No donations. You know that you got to raise a certain amount of money for whatever. Party that you're with in order to even be considered as a candidate? Did you know that?
No, I kind of knew that.
Yeah, over here, you can't even get on the ballot unless you raise a certain amount of money. And it costs you at least $1,000 just to get on the list. But if you don't raise enough money, you're not considered a candidate. And it gets worse, because now that there's a money issue there, people will say, hey, I will back you up financially, but I would need you to vote my way whenever it comes down to this particular deal. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
They're buying and selling and trading votes just to get elected. And then when you do get up here in office, if you're a new senator or congressman, as long as you're backed by the right financial groups or whatever, you might last a while. But for the most part, when you get in there, they're going to find every piece of dirt they can on you, so that if they can't blackmail you, if they can't bribe you or buy you out, you know, this sounds like some of the old mob movies, man. I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse.
Yeah, or you're going to have a horse head in your bed.
Yeah. Fish in your mailbox or something.
Well, that was quite an opening scene for a movie, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, that's pretty bad.
That really shocked me. Whoa. Talking about a low blow, but, yeah. Nothing is out of their playbook right now. I honestly believe that things are going to get really crazy here in the next little while, because out of chaos comes control.
Well, I'm agreeing with you. I'm kind of, on the fearful side of this particular next election going on. You know, you got these people over there trying to do everything they can to promote, Trump being impeached, and regardless of the fact that the ones that are actually doing the trying to do the impeachment are the ones that are actually committing the crimes and trying to get the people who committed even worse crimes in office.
Yeah, so, I think this is all going to come. I think a lot of that's going to be really brought out in this little states. I talked with a buddy of mine down there. Yeah.
Sorry, you're cutting out real bad there.
All this going on, and we both agreed that if you don't think they're trying to kill him right now, you got your head in the sand. If you don't think he's got three or four layers of security around him, then you're watching with this guy.
Yeah.
But hopefully they don't. Hopefully they don't. And there'll be a civil war in the United States of America. Simple as that.
I believe that too, and I believe that they keep pushing. I think that's what they're trying to push people to, a civil war. They want a civil war here because it gives them everything that they've already put all the things incrementally in place. You know, they can't just come out and holler martial law because they will start a civil war. They need to make it so that the people are fighting against the people and that the people actually beg for martial law.
Yeah, bring the troops in. Stop this madness.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's the whole
problem with action pollution. I see all kinds of mechanisms they could bring in right now to really bring society under control.
They called us conspiracy theories.
Turn upside down overnight. Overnight things could turn upside down.
They called us conspiracy theorists for even mentioning such things. But the thing about it is, you go listen to the doggone media. Listen to what they're saying. Even the government, even the senators and congressmen are saying, yeah, this system's corrupt. And the doggone mainstream media are fanning the fires of conspiracy over and over again. Even after this whole Russia thing was proved to be a hoax, they're still on it. They're still using it to try to get this man out of office because he's bucking their system. They don't like him because he bucks their system. He talks about the truth about how these people are actually corrupt. The media is corrupt. The fake news. The news think they can come out there and just flat out lie to you and get by with it. But when somebody points it out that they're actually lying, they're faking news, and they're trying to use this information to steer you towards whatever political candidate they want in office, they're tampering with the doggone elections. Why hasn't the mainstream media been charged with tampering with elections? Because they're sure as heck not putting it fair and balanced out there. Look what they blatantly did to Bernie Sanders back in the day. Look what they did to Ron Paul. Both sides. They all did it. They didn't give every candidate a equal amount of time and equal deal. They came out there and they talked smack about the ones they didn't like. And, you know, Ron Paul's, he's always talking about getting rid of the Federal Reserve, which we should have got rid of the Federal Reserve a long time ago. The Internal Revenue Service, same thing. You know, the doggone international bankers got their hands so deep in our political system, it's mind-blowing.
Yeah, it's a complete control of your financial system by foreign entities.
Yeah. And that's not a national security
risk. The only one talking about getting rid of it is Trump.
Yep, and every time he does, they try to make him sound crazy. But, you know, hey, it is what it is. Now we, the people, got to figure out what the heck to do about it. That's the thing. And the only thing that I see, the only thing I see that we can do is to try to do what we're doing right now to try to open people's eyes to the truth about what's really going on in this world, because they're not given the truth.
Well, I think it comes down to civil disobedience, she says. But it's going to take the majority of society willing to step up to the plate and say, hey, we've had enough, we're not taking any more, at a set time, at a time where you've got 100,000 or 1 million or 2 million people standing up to the plate saying, we're not going to do this anymore. That, I think, would have a major effect in society. But to get people to stand up and do that, people are terrified. They are terrified. You see people driving down the road and they're looking in the rear view, and if the cop comes in behind them, they're shaking because of the fear.
Yeah, and you hit on a key point right there. Most people will not stand up because they don't believe the other people will stand up with them.
Well, that's because they're always fighting amongst each other.
That's the whole thing.
Well, that's the divisions. One of the things I think about a lot is you look at how professional sports, when I was a kid, growing up, hockey was a game that we played because we loved it. And, when I was 16, 17, 18 years old, if you were playing professional hockey, you were making the same kind of money as maybe a upper middle class citizen in society. You weren't making $5 or $6 or $10 million a year.
Yep.
So what they've done with professional sports, they've turned it into a business, but they've also turned it into a major mechanism of division in society. You need to keep society entertained to keep them from looking at what's going on.
Yep, that's it.
I've talked to people in the coffee shop, and I've said to them, I said, you guys sit here and talk about who won the hockey game last night, who's the leading scorer in the NHL, who's the leading rookie. Well, what life consequences does that have? That's just a distraction. And to get people to understand that is tough, but some people actually start to look at it and they go, wow, maybe you're making some sense here. I haven't watched a professional sports game on TV now in about 5 years. I will not turn it on.
Yeah, I don't either.
It's just a distraction. You're watching some guy make $5 or $6 or $7 million a year to play a game that I love. I love playing the game. And they're put up on pedestals. And every young kid now growing up wants to be playing in the NHL or wants to be playing in the NBA or the MAA.
Yes, and they don't care about politics.
Their whole focus on life is making it to the pros. And it's only one in 10,000 children growing up, or a child growing up, that's going to make it to the professional level. So you got 9,999 kids that suffer major depression because they didn't get what they're supposed to get in life.
Yep.
We don't talk about that.
Anon7638 said they are attacking us by increasing poverty and making food more expensive, and when it gets to the worst level, people will fight against it, but by then the elite will have us all at the barrel of a gun, that's their plan.
I agree with that statement 100%. That when it gets to a point that society is actually going to start to want to do something about it because it's starting to directly impact their lives, we'll be past the point of no return.
Closed. Well, in reality, they could start a civil war overnight just merely by closing down all the social programs such as welfare and food stamps and all that kind of stuff. You shut that thing down and you'll have people in the streets rioting.
They got everybody
so dependent on the government that without it, you're going to have a mess.
Well, boy, talking about a scenario, man, if the dollar collapses, which I honestly believe it will, there's a point coming that our whole financial system will collapse.
Well, if it does...
You think about all the people in the United States right now that are on the government dollar on psychotropics and antidepressant drugs.
Yep, if it does...
The number, I don't want to be misquoted, but I think it's approximately 80 to 90 million Americans right now are on some kind of a psychotropic or antidepressant drug.
Well, don't surprise me, man.
If you took all those drugs away from those people overnight,
because the government's
gone broke, what would you have in society?
Well, that's why I was getting ready to say that if it does collapse, if the dollar bill does collapse, because it's already funny money, they make it up anyway, that it's going to be because they chose to do it in order to cause that scenario to play out.
Right.
It was intentional.
They want to bring in a one world government. They want to bring in a one world economy.
Yeah.
And we can see it going there. I mean, they're setting us up with the RFIDs. They're setting us up with all this visual recognition in society. You look at how China surveils their people. It's unbelievable. Yeah. the level of surveillance. Well, that level of surveillance is going to come here.
They already got their one world religion. It's called climate change. Or global warming or climate disruption.
We're in Canada here, we want to shut down all our fossil fuel industries because of the 1.5% of the carbon we produce in the world. But who's telling China, who produces 31% of the carbon in the world, to shut down their industries? Are they listening? No.
No, who cares about China, though, because China can buy carbon tax from other polluters.
Yeah, but you see the hypocrisy of it all.
Yeah, I'm saying you're going to sit here and charge people carbon taxes in order so that somebody else could actually sell those carbon credits and to somebody else who wants to pollute. So you're not fixing nothing. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, it's a joke. It really is. But people are buying it.
Stephen Gibbons said...
I've lost friends on Facebook here because they're supporting Greta Thunberg. And I'm going, but come on, guys, are you really seriously supporting what this 16-year-old is saying?
Yeah. Stephen Gibbons said the government is the biggest employer in most countries. Now, who is doing the... who is going to bite the hand that feeds them? Yeah, so that's why the law enforcement officer always says, well, if it becomes illegal to own a gun, that they have to enforce the law, that they will enforce the law. So there, you got law enforcement who swore an oath to uphold the Constitution, which Second Amendment is one of them, who are now saying that they will actually go around and confiscate guns from law-abiding citizens if it becomes illegal. They're saying they'll do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's all under the guise of, I was just doing my job. I'm the government. I work for the government. Why would I bite the hand that feeds me? I got to feed my kids, so I'm gonna enforce the law. No matter what the law is, if it's the law that we can't own guns, I'm coming to get yours. Think about it.
And then the shooting will start for this.
Yeah, sure will.
And then out comes martial law, and out comes the War Measures Act, and out comes a complete lockdown of society.
That's why the people have to start getting smart, which is almost impossible because the government indoctrination centers that we call the public schools have already got people being robots, and the criminal enterprise that is the doggone colleges of the United States of America... The people that come up out of there, you know, groups like Antifa, anti-fascist, where they go around and use fascism to shut everybody else down, break the laws, while law enforcement officers stand idly by and allow them to break the law.
Mm-hmm.
And the side that is trying to follow the law is getting upset because you guys ain't doing nothing. They just assaulted somebody, and you guys aren't doing nothing. And they're saying, oh, well, our hands are tied. What? Who tied your hands? That's what I want to know. Who was the one that said, told the law enforcement to stand down during all these different protests? You know, they're the ones responsible for all the mess because it got out of hand. And they want it to get out of hand. That's the whole doggone thing. They want it to get out of hand.
They want us to go to armed revolt against the government. That is what they're pushing us towards. Shaziz. And I've said it many times before that we can't go that road. We've got to beat them while we can legally.
Yeah.
But for that to happen, you're going to have to get people to actually want to get involved.
That's why these shows are so important. That's why
society don't want to get involved.
I know.
They don't want to hear it. They don't want to know anything about it. They don't want to talk about politics. I have people saying, I don't want to talk about politics. Well, I say to them, well, isn't that kind of an important conversation that we should be having? But, you know, it's an uncomfortable conversation for most people. It really is. They don't want to even know about it. They just want to go about their lives and live in their little bubbles.
Yep.
I see it all the time.
Anon7638 said, wise people know the control factor for digital currency. That is why they want to crash our every economy so that they can pose digital currency as the savior of all, but in reality it will be the shackles of us all. Yeah, because they can basically take your account, your money account from... you know, whatever you got in it to zero at any instant if you say something that they don't like. They can fine you. You don't even have a choice to go to court. They take the money right out of your bank.
Absolutely. It's complete control of every aspect of your life when they get to that point. That's where they're going.
Yeah, and this is why people should be interested in politics. This is why people should be having these conversations. This is why the Knights of the Round Table and other shows like it are important, because this information needs to get out there. And we can't do it alone. We have to have people who listen to these shows who agree with what we're saying to share the podcast with people. Look, I've said it a million times. Take these podcasts, take what you want out of them, rebroadcast it, you know, get the information out there, share the links on your social media networks while you can, and hopefully more people will come to the table and talk about solutions out here. There are solutions, but they're getting fewer and far between, and they're being ignored by the population because the population is too distracted with hockey, like Barry said. You know?
It's sad, isn't it?
You know, yeah. Really,
your country's being destroyed. Your economy's being destroyed. Your health is being destroyed, and you're worried about a hockey game.
Yeah. And doggone it, man, when it comes down to alternative medicines, it's amazing to me how many people I've heard about here recently diagnosed with cancer who literally go through chemotherapy and die anyway, a miserable death. And they're doing it to children too, but they will not even hear anything that doesn't come from the doctor that has to do with alternative medicines. They won't hear it. They won't hear about benefits of hemp and different benefits of different types of alternative medicines out there. If the doctor doesn't say it, then they don't believe it. They're too fearful. And they think the doctor is going to save them. Well, I have watched doctor after doctor butcher patient after patient, and they died a miserable death.
Yep. Suck every dollar out of you until the day you die. And
yeah.
The next one, buddy. It's all about money. They don't care.
So the political...
is the most barbaric practice in the world.
The political system...
After your child exposed to that, without looking at alternatives, I say shame on you.
Yeah, I agree.
I can't tell you, I can't say that this cures cancer, that cures cancer, but the facts are, the evidence is out there, and the report states that these practices will kill cancer. Vitamin C, man, take a look at that, folks.
Yeah, my point of view on that, Barry, my point of view is this.
Oxygen saturation of your body, another one says this.
Doctors take the Hippocratic Oath. Doctors take the Hippocratic Oath to do no harm. So by rights, they should put every single option available, whether it be alternative or not, on the table and let the people choose the ones that they like the best.
Their obligation is to inform the patient fully of everything that's available.
Yeah, but they don't.
They don't, because they come out of medical school and they're funded by Big Pharma, and they have their little book of remedies for every disorder in the human race, and if you don't follow that mandate, you're not going to get your paycheck, and that's where doctors are at. They're the most hypocritical people in the world.
Yep.
Naturals work, and we could talk about it for hours.
Yeah, we could do
it. I'm living proof of naturals working, healing an ACL that I was told would only be repaired by surgery.
Yeah.
But I wrapped my knee with ginseng, a plant up here called singing nettle. The natives have been using this for thousands and thousands of years up here to heal their bones and heal their bodies. And I wrapped my knee with this with comfort, and I put a tensor bandage around it for 6 weeks, and my ACL is completely 100% healed. I had another MRI done on my knee, and they told me the ACL is healed. No surgery.
Great.
So don't listen to what they say.
Well, I use hemp seed oil on a religious basis. I use it. I've been using it for years now.
So have I.
And it works.
I take a third of a gram of oil every day.
Yeah.
It's part of my regimen.
I've even grown to like the taste of it, you know?
Well, you see the results in your body when you take it, man. You know, the endocannabinoid signaling system in the body, some people don't even know what that is. Yet the World Health Organization stated that the discovery of the endocannabinoid signaling system in the human body was the greatest discovery in medical science. It's only being taught in 13% of the universities in the United States. They're not touching on this subject at all because they don't want people to know about it.
But every average Joe...
If you put cannabinoids in your body and you support that signaling system, the human body will basically attack and heal and destroy anything wrong with your body. Your body will look after itself, but our bodies are so weak so contaminated because of contaminants. Our immune systems are about 40% weaker than the average man in 1960 at this point in history.
Yeah,
all the disorders come from immune-based disorders. Everything that happens in our body is because of deficiency in our immune system.
But every average Joe that I mentioned, what we're talking about, every average Joe that I mentioned, what you and I are talking about, always says, well, I'm going to ask my doctor about it whenever I go to the my appointment. And I like, right there, I know that they're not going to do it. Because 90% of all the doctors out there will not recommend that they do it. They'll tell them all kinds of horror stories and give them an over-the-counter drug instead, something that's going to profit the doctor. They're not going to say, yeah, well, I heard about that too, and I ain't really done much with it, but I'm looking into it. You know, they don't do that. When you talk about hyperbaric oxygen treatment, I gave a neural surgeon or whatever, a vascular surgeon. I gave a vascular surgeon a huge, thick printout of all kinds of information having to do with that, and this lady was quite literally shocked that the medical industry never even said anything about it. And so she was interested in looking at it. You know, but for the most part, all the other doctors that I gave the same information to, they just poo-pooed the idea. They probably threw it in the trash the moment I went around the corner.
Yeah. Well, because it doesn't follow the agenda.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah. That's got to change. It really has to change in society.
It's not just the medical industry, though.
Somebody gets, you know, they get the diagnosis of cancer, they instantly think they're dead, you know?
Yep.
Well, you're not. Because there's so many ways to beat cancer that it's unbelievable. And all you have to do is a little research into it. Alkaline levels in your body are another one that a doctor in 1939 was given a Nobel Peace Prize for discovering that cancer cannot live in an alkaline environment, that if you bring your alkaline levels up in your body, it will kill the cancer.
Yep.
They don't want you to know that.
No, because they can't sell you the doggone butchering drugs and the poison that they do. Radiation, you know, they give people radiation sickness. They break their immune system down. They torment these people, and most of them end up dying anyway. Very few cases ever are, going to remission because of chemotherapy. But
well,
they still use it.
You ever take pictures of what chemotherapy does to a child?
Oh, yeah. Make their hair fall out. Make them sicker than a dog.
When there's naturals out there that would do the job and have no effect on the child. Chemotherapy fails. I think the numbers are around 97% of the time it actually fails. Sure, you might live a few more years, but you can't radiate your body. You can't radiate the white cells in your body and not expect results or consequences in the future.
But that, you know,
so they buy you a little time, they give you some more drugs, they get some more money out of you. You keep living for a little longer, you have a real terrible life, but you're living, and then all of a sudden you die.
Yep. But the thing is, it's not just in the medical industry, it's also in the food industry, it's in the energy industry, it's in the government, all the different government agencies. The corruption is so rampant that it's just mind-blowing. And so when the average Joe hears this, huh?
You think about all the entities that are working against us.
Yeah.
Stopping us from being what we're supposed to be.
When the average Joe hears this, it sounds overwhelming. And if they're not willing to sit down and have a political conversation with you and find out the truth about things, then they're just basically going along to get along. And most people, like that guy in The Matrix said, that they'll fight tooth and nail to protect the same system that keeps them enslaved.
Yep.
It's crazy. All for fear. All for fear. Every single bit of it's for fear. For the government portions of it and the corporations and the banking industry, it's all for profit. But for the average Joe, you obviously don't want your family to starve to death, so you're going to do whatever you have to do in order to comply so that you can get food. This new real ID card that they got, you got to have all your documentation in order to get this ID card. But if you don't, it says in the Missouri law that you don't have to take it. You don't have to. You have to specifically ask for it. Otherwise, you'll get a regular driver's license. However, you have to know that when you don't specifically asked for it. If you ever decide to get on an airplane, you cannot do it. You cannot go into government buildings. So all the people who are like veterans or whatever that need to go into a government building for services or whatever, they will not be able to get in there after 2020 without this little star on the top of their driver's license, the real ID. And so you're being punished. You don't have to get it, but you're going to be punished if you don't get it. There's something wrong with that.
Yeah, they have sure set it up to completely control society.
Yeah.
I mean, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
So I'm pretty much doomed because I'm not going to specifically ask for it. I'm not going to do it. You know, I don't want to fly anyway because I don't want to have the TSA groping me. I want some man groping me, you know. And so why would I want to go fly? And it's going to get to the point where if you want to go to the football game and you ain't got it, you're not going to get in. You're just not going to get in. They're gonna want to grope you at the football game. They already metal detect you, you know. But before too long, you have to go through one of them naked body scanners, and everybody will say, well, you know, it's all for the game. It's all for the game.
To really? Keep you safe.
Yeah. That's crazy. You know? And
inch by inch.
We could talk about all the hypocrisy and all the corruption till the cows come home, but until the average Joe actually starts to wake up and realize that they're being had, they're being played like a banjo, they're being herded into, you know, fighting amongst each other, until the average Joe starts taking information like what we presented here today and sharing it, it's not going to change. The system is so embedded like a tick and a, you know, whatever, but like an octopus, the tentacles go in every single direction. Corruption in every single level from the highest to the lowest point. You got police officers who say they will actually go around and confiscate guns if it becomes law. That's scary.
Yeah.
Because they took an oath. And then they will laugh in your face. They will literally laugh in your face when you quote your rights as a citizen.
Yeah, and if they're willing to confiscate guns, they're probably willing to shoot you too, she says.
Oh, yeah. Round you up.
Are we getting to that point? I think so.
I think so, too. They'll round you up. Yep. So all these conspiracies that we talked about forever and a day that people laughed and mocked and ridiculed us and said we were tinfoil hat nutcases now are actually coming to light. And yet some people are embracing them. Some people are actually taking the microchip, even having parties. Everybody's going to get chipped. We're going to have a convenient world in life, you know. And, you know, we get this real ID, then that's going to cut down on the illegal immigration. No, it ain't. They'll have an ID card for them, too.
They'll have a little chip in your wrist, man.
Yeah.
And that's what's coming.
And if you don't know your place and shut your face, they'll take your money from you. They'll literally shut you off. They'll make you a non-person.
Well, you know, Sweden has stated they're going to be a completely cashless society by, I think it's April or May of next year. No cash in Sweden. And India now is completely cashless. Multiple countries are following the same agenda. You know, they're going to turn us into a cashless society. That's coming. That's just around the corner. And I believe that, you know, this universal card that's being brought into the United States is just one step away from the RFID chip.
Yep.
Which now is being promoted as the cool new thing to do, you know?
Well,
you don't have to carry a wallet. You don't have to worry about carrying a wallet. Just put this in your wrist, and everywhere you want to go, anything you want to do, convenience, man, and it'll keep you safe.
Well, Barry, you and I...
If we get to that point, for this.
You and I, brother, we come from a spiritual background with a book that is probably one of the most despised books in today's modern day. And one of the belief systems that is actually one of the most persecuted ones in the world today. But the book actually said about this time. The book actually said it. And all these folks out there that, you know, spit on it and poo-poo the idea, somebody back in them days was pretty doggone smart to be able to lay it out just exactly how it was playing out right now. You can see it. You know, the mark of the beast, the real ID card, the chip in your hand, the cashless society, the wars, the rumors of wars, the plagues, the famine, the pestilence. You know, all these things were spoken about. But you and I, we come out and we try to say something about that. Suddenly, we come under attack, not just from average Joes and Janes who are, you know, been out there getting information that essentially propagandized them into believing something totally contrary to whatever the truth really is.
Yeah, well, I get attacked all the time, she says, but I don't care at this point in my life because I stand in my truth.
Well, I do too, brother.
And this book that we talk about right now, to me, the correlation of what was talked about 3,000, 2,000, 3,000 years ago by multiple prophets spread all over the planet Earth with no ways of communication, but all talking about this particular time in history and the articulation of everything that's happening right now, the crescendo of events that are happening on this planet right now. If you put it all into a perspective and ask yourself, where did that information, how did somebody 3,000 years ago write so accurately, so articulately about exactly what we see going on in the world today?
Yep.
How did that happen? And where did that information come from? At this point in my life, you can attack me all you want. I am a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ, and I believe that one day he's coming back, and this mess that we've created, he's going to straighten it all out, buddy.
I'm right there with you, buddy.
I stand at my beliefs, and I don't care what people think about me. I don't care.
I'm right there with you, brother. You know, the system that we find ourselves in, it has a dark side, and nobody can say otherwise.
The ramping up of evil on this planet right now, folks. You think that's just an accident? The devil is running wild on this planet. Our society is becoming so demoralized. We have hit the bottom as far as morals in society.
Yeah, we're attacking each other, man.
And we're not standing up against it. Our society is going to collapse. It has happened in the past. It's going to happen again.
Yeah.
Mark my words.
We, the people, are out there attacking each other. The beast has got us playing. The Jerry Springer effect is in full force. You know, and everybody's out there hollering, Jerry, Jerry, you know, out there, you know, rioting in the streets with each other and fighting over things, and they don't even realize that they have been played like a banjo, just like George Soros does his destabilization of nations, and all of his justification for everything that he done back in his youth or whatever, all the way to present day. Even he may be banned from six different countries, his reach is still not beyond, you know, having power to basically manipulate your media and everything else. And he's just one. He's just one of the elitists. And all these elitists are out there doing the same exact thing. They're vying for position of power whenever this anti-Christ system that we like to call it is in place. That's what they're doing. They'll sell you down the river in a hurry. And if you think they won't, well, you ain't been paying attention. There's two separate laws. One for you, the people, and one for the elitists of the world. And all the truth and all the evidence that comes out, you see crime after crime after crime, and nobody is ever held accountable for it. We would be held accountable. We are held accountable. We can't even say certain things without being held accountable.
Without going to jail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we talk out against a group that we disagree with, we're called hate crime people or whatever. Well, folks, it's about time to start wrapping this thing up here. But I hope that today's show, I hope that you got something from today's show besides a taste of fear that you think we can't do anything about it. I still believe there's still opportunity. I still believe there's solutions available. But the thing about it is, it has to be knowledge. It has to be you're taking the time to get involved and listen and share information. Not information that you just got propagandized, but literally get out there and not only vet what I'm saying, vet what everybody's saying, vet what the mainstream media is saying. Go out there and check and recheck and double check your sources. You know, there was once said that the reason why people don't trust the Bible is because it was written by man. Well, I submit to you that if any book, any one book in this world, because it was written by man, should not be trusted, then every book out there written by man, every story told by man, every YouTube video, every single article out there, if it was written by man, it should be questionable. So if you're going to hold one book to a higher standard than all the other information out there, then you're going to fool yourself, because there are people out there with the specific intention to deceive you in order to get you to act a certain way. And in this particular case, in Canada and United States and the UK and all over the world out here, they want you to fight each other. They want you at war with one another. They want you to believe that resources are scarce and that you need to rush to the store to buy what you can buy while you can get it, or you need to pay higher prices, or you need to do something. They're there to convince you. And so when you take information from wherever you get it, I don't care if you got it from here, check it, recheck it, double check it. When you find out that it holds up to the truth that we've been telling you for so long on the Knights of the Round Table, then you need to share that information. You need to put it on the table for somebody else to see. Go out there on your social media networks while you can, because they are censoring. You think they're not censoring, then you haven't been paying attention. Because the words that we've been saying out here, they get blocked all the time. Try saying what we say here on the Knights of the Round Table on YouTube and see what happens. Check it out. So with that said, Barry, it looks like you're the only one.
I guess there's no ladies to go first today. It's always good getting in here on Sunday mornings. And after my second cup of coffee, it starts to feel like I can talk. But, what do we say about the world today? It sure is. It's crazy. And it seems to be getting crazier and crazier. And I just say, you got to take a stand. You got to believe. You got to stand in your beliefs. You got to stand in your truth. And you, at this point, to me, there's nothing more important than trying to get people to understand that we are in crazy times, but it's not a lost cause. But there has to be hope. There always is hope. But we are. And where it's all going, I kind of got to go back to my book, Shaziz, and the way it talks about it going, how it's being played out. I believe that's how it's going to play out. I'm glad I've got a spiritual foundation, because if I didn't, I'd go crazy. I really would. Thanks for having me in, buddy.
You and me both, brother, and thanks for being here. It's an honor and a pleasure, as always, to have you here. I'm humbly honored that all these folks that come here and share their comments and, you know, time with each other, because we care. You know, all of us care. Everyone who's listening to this show cares. You know, and so what we got to do, you know, even if we might seem like a small amount of the people out there, your words and your actions are more powerful than you can imagine. Take these words that we've shared with you today and share them with somebody else who needs to hear them. You know, forget the left versus the right paradigm, that because they're both connected to the same bird. And that bird has you in its talons, literally. And we the people have to stand up while we even have a voice, because at some point in time, George Orwell's 1984, or what's that, Huxley guy, I can't remember what his first name, the Brave New World, the One World Government, the One World Financial, the One World Religion, which I believe is already on the table. That's the whole climate change debacle. They got all the kids paranoid thinking doomsday's right around the corner. But nonetheless, regardless of the solutions, we're ignored, and we got to stop that. We got to start helping each other out. We got to start sharing real information, and we got to start becoming part of the part of the solution instead of part of the problem. We got to stop fighting amongst each other. Get out there in our communities and do something positive. Even if you think it's something small, do something positive. The more positive, the more love, the more peace, and the more hope that you can put out there for the masses, the positive pebbles at a time, that's what is going to make the difference. And in the long run, if things play out the way that book says, which I'm pretty much right there with you, Barry, I think we're going there. I hope we don't. I honestly hope we don't. But, you know, I'm not in fear. My greatest fear is that other people in this world won't see the light before it's too late, and that's sad sadness that I feel. I love people, and I want you people to be, you know, healthy. I want you to be happy. I want you to help each other. I just want the best for everybody out there. And I want the best for my grandchildren and your grandchildren. I want to see this world be something so much better than what we've had to deal with. We wouldn't be talking like this, Barry, if it wasn't for the urgency of what we see coming, right?
Absolutely.
Peace and love, everybody. You've been listening.
It breaks our hearts.
Yep. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Please share this message if it touched you in any good way. Take care.
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us, from every nation, come together and make that future a great one.
Was that ant that stood up to me?
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh,
one ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss, they're puny.
Hmm, puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Old woman!
Man!
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37, I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship.
a self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would
hear... Please, please, good people, I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What? I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet.
I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Do you hear that? Do you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, three dots where we're able. We do routine to call a scene, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more, we're table. So many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off from mad in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Shazam the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table.